This is PFW in Progress.
The best undiscovered female voices will sing on this stage tonight with one definite goal: to win your vote. You decide their destiny. You make the call. The competition is on. Let's go. This is
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
I like that shirt, though.
I think it was a complete and utter mess. It didn't work. It was all over the place. You were forgetting your words. It just didn't work. Right. I really, really, really hated that. Sorry.
Paul Perillo.
Are you drunk?
No, not at all.
No. I thought it was ridiculous.
And Andy. And Andy?
Last week you indicated that you are on a different page.
Well, let's just redefine that as correct page.
Andy Hart.
So, being serious, I watched the show back, and I have to say, if I was giving myself marks out of 10, I'd give myself a 10.
Some guy named Tom.
The reality is, it is actually more than just singing. It is about personality. It's about the right choice of song. You can't come up on a stage like tonight and be in your own world and hope that you're going to interest the American audience, because they're going to forget that performance three performances later. So not your best night by a mile.
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
You are cute. You're likable. Hey. I think America, if they haven't already, are going to fall in love with you.
PFW in Progress.
There's nothing much you can do. And there were parts during the performance where it was actually painful. It didn't work. You can't keep doing this week after week after week. Sorry.
All right. Very good, Gary. American Idol visits PFW in Progress. And Simon Cowell, I wonder what rating he would give PFW Progress. Would he approve of our performances?
I don't
59.
Think so.
All right. Well, anyway, here we are. It's Wednesday.
If you know about the football or the Patriots, you would.
Noon Eastern time. Sure. Andy Hart, Paul Perillo, Tom Casale, Fred Kirsch, Gary behind the window. We're all here until 2 o'clock taking your calls and emails. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. And, of course, we podcast the shows now. We're up as of about 10 o'clock this morning, Paul, on iTunes. We were number 71. So
that's our highest ranking ever, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's the highest
59.
Ranking. We were like 86. We dropped off the top 100 sports podcasts, and now we're back up to 71. We're above the Giants now. The only team-specific football podcast that's ahead of us is Notre Dame. I think they're like 60 or
so. So how many times do they let you vote?
No, I've only voted
one.
It's not a matter of voting. It's how many people subscribe to it.
Okay.
How many people can only subscribe to it once. But it fluctuates. Very fluid.
So we're really first, because you can't compete with Notre Dame.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Come on.
So I want to just thank, if any of our listeners are out there who have subscribed to the Patriots podcast, and want to thank them for that and keep it up. Tell your friends to subscribe. Just, it's not so much I want to be number one, which there's no way we can. I think once you get into like top 30 or something.
What kind of a mentality is that?
I think I was going to explain it. Once you get into top 30, you know, you're dealing with the ESPN,
right,
and Major League Baseball, and
I don't care.
You know, that have that mass appeal. We're just appealing to our fans.
Andy,
but
that's a good point. As I continue to chew my
Why are we not shooting for the sky?
Because I like to be realistic. I want to be realistic in my goals. I don't want to disappoint our fans if we can't get to number one. Because, like I said,
the ESPN can't please all their demographic.
You're going up against mass appeal type podcasts.
I remember back in 2000, Bill Belichick addressed the team and said, "Look, we're looking to shoot for about number eight or nine. We can't really aspire to be the Rams or the Ravens. Right.
That's
a different level." We'll just be content. Thank God Bill Belichick didn't have Fred Kirsch's mindset is all I can say.
Sheesh.
Anyway, I don't think the Giants fans are going to be subscribing to Patriots podcast, is my point. But I want to keep up there in the top 100, because then as Patriots fans are on iTunes for whatever reason, they might become exposed to it if they otherwise didn't know it. So I want all our Patriots fans to be aware of what we're doing. So
subscribe. It's free.
Yeah, it's good. Subscribe. It's free. It's good for us to be up there so people can be aware of what we're doing. Otherwise, it makes no difference at all. So that's all I'm saying about that. What else?
That's the bottom line.
We just came from Bill Belichick's pre draft press conference in the media workroom. It started at 10. And
I'd like to point out I'm in no way confused by what he said. I thought he was very truthful and forthcoming with information, and he really cleared up the pre-draft process for me.
He's one of the players that we like. And, said three. That's
very,
he's
very interested in Reggie Bush.
I said two or three.
Very interested.
Well, I think
he actually thinks Reggie Bush could play here.
Yep.
No, I think you know, whether you have a shot at him or you don't, I think you have to just say that if we had him, if we had a shot, we'd take him. I mean, that,
yeah, he said that a number of times. Yeah. I think it's pretty clear that if he's available, they'll take him.
Yeah,
I know we're talking about Belichick's press conference specifically, but you brought up Reggie Bush. What do you make of this whole thing now with Houston?
I think it's garbage.
Problem signing him. Maybe they have legitimate interest in Mario Williams. Maybe they have legitimate interest in trading down and maybe still hoping to get
right.
Reggie Bush. Pro
stupid.
Football Talk had an item today.
It's not stupid to have that information out there. Because
No.
You never know what somebody might offer. And who knows? They may have already talked to Reggie Bush's agent. And
I'm sure
what they're asking for is so much that, hey, you know what?
Oh,
you know, if we have to pay it, maybe we will. But let's look at what else is, you know,
I'm
available.
Sure, they have talked.
Let me ask you, how much would you pay for Barry Sanders?
Well, when he was drafted, is the.
No, I know, but I'm saying is, if you think he's that good, just pay him.
Well,
I hate that. Oh, we don't want to pay him, but we'll drop two spots down and give DeBrickishaw Ferguson a ton of money so he can be a bust at left tackle.
If what they're asking for is so far beyond what former number one picks have been getting, you have to wonder.
It won't be.
I don't know. I just don't know. And you don't know.
They're drafting Reggie Bush.
I would hope so.
That's what the question I was asking is, do you think there's anything to this?
Now, if they can work it and they can take Bush with the third pick in the draft somehow, okay,
right.
Then you're smarter than
I am. I also wonder, too, and, you know, and I thought Florio on the Pro Football Talk item raised an interesting point. He didn't really delve into it that deeply. But he broached around it enough to so you'd understand what he's talking about. John McClain, the Houston Chronicle, is the one who's writing that the interest in Mario Williams is legitimate.
Right.
And you kind of wonder, is someone from Houston saying, hey, look, John, do us a favor.
Yeah.
This is what we're trying to do. And I know that happens a lot. It doesn't happen, I don't think, around here a lot, because I don't think Bill has that kind of relationship with a lot of different members of the media in this area.
But you're right, it does happen a lot.
He does have that. He does have those relationships with some national members of the media, a guy like Peter King.
Plus,
for example.
If you're the Texans and you want McClain, who he's pretty well known.
Oh,
nationally.
He's a very very well established NFL.
To write
writer.
That, you don't tell him yourself. You have somebody else tell him.
And I agree with you, Fred. It's good. It is smart to get that out there. I just think it's more of a ploy, like you're saying, to drive the price down. And I mean, do they have legitimate interest in Mario Williams? I'm sure they do, but Reggie Bush is the guy I think they want.
This is part of the smokescreen, the misinformation that goes on this time of year, and what Bill Belichick was talking about, the mind games. It's not just the mind games you play with yourself. It's the mind games you try to play with all the other teams, too.
And just the John McClain was the one who reported David Givens resigned with the New England Patriots.
Which is exactly why I brought
into question when it happened.
And I'll guarantee you that was misinformation. Specifically, someone told him that specifically
so
for that reason.
It's not out of the realm of possibility that John McClain is either being used or somehow is part of a whole little
I thought Andy Hart reported that.
Oh, no.
Well, at some point, though, if you're John McClain, you got to say, hey, I'm getting this information. Every time I do it wrong, I better, start wondering why people are telling me this stuff. So. So it only works so far. You have to be really in the guy's pocket to be consistent with it.
You know what I hate, too, with the number one overall pick? Everybody says, it's scary to pick number one overall because, it's such hit or miss, boom or bust. Well, then you shouldn't be in the game.
Right.
Either
it's like that at any position.
Either you know what you're doing and you have the confidence that you are going to pick the best football player, or you don't.
Right.
I agree with Andy.
Why would you not want to pick first?
Is there really significantly less pressure picking third?
Right.
Well, I don't. Or the
Come
Colts.
On. When you're in the top 10 and you're making a pick, you have to get a good football player.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's 1, 8, 6. If you miss consistently with those single-digit picks in the first round, you're gone.
Right. But why?
You,
is
I
that?
Missed at 7 instead
is
of
it
1.
Because Woo! Of the crop? Is it because of the pool of people you're picking from in 10 or because of the money that you have to pay them?
Both.
You just need to know what you're doing, bottom line.
Well, I think that goes for any team in the draft.
I think it's important at any pick. I mean, the picks the Patriots have made have helped them win Super Bowls. You know what I mean? So if they had missed on those, maybe they don't win Super Bowls.
It was an interesting part where you know, Belichick was talking about certain guys are different on our board than other teams because of our system. Mm-hmm. We have them valued differently. An interesting question I think would be, Bill, how good does a guy have to be where you just look at him and say, screw our system, we got to take him?
Right.
How good does he have to be? Does he have? Is Reggie Bush one of those guys? You know, now a running back is a little bit different, but is Mario Williams one of those guys? Where,
well, the example, Jonathan Vilma. Bill Belichick loved Jonathan Vilma, an undersized, speedy linebacker, not a prototypical New England Patriots linebacker, that he was in love with. And he was good enough to, I'll put him on the field as a linebacker, he'll make plays for me, and I don't care whether he fits the prototype or not.
Yeah, right.
I think that's the perfect example of what you're asking.
Now, I mean, that's
Vilma.
Individual basis. You have to decide, this guy's that good.
It's like porn, Fred. You know it when you see it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but he wasn't good enough for the Patriots to trade up to get him.
Right. Well, you don't know that they didn't try.
Well, maybe they tried.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that they.
What's up, Vito?
As Mike Florio would write, they had the fleur-de-lis in the pants for,
pitched a tent?
Yeah, for Jonathan.
The other thing that I was kind of thinking about during the press conference was he was talking about when he was with Cleveland, Belichick, and they kind of had a pre-deal, he and Jimmy Johnson, with the Cowboys. You know, they each knew what the other guy was going to want, so that would save time when it came time to pick. I think it would help teams that are in the top 10, to let the league know, hey, look, we'd be willing to move out, but here's the minimum. Don't bother calling unless you're going to talk at least at this level, but we'd be willing to move out and let everyone know that.
I think they do.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because he was saying that it's kind of rare that.
No, he said they made the deal for the pick,
for the draft. And he says that's kind of rare.
Different than saying what we would do.
Okay.
He says most teams like to wait till the draft itself. I mean, you could have a discussion right now.
Right.
Like Bill and Jimmy Johnson could have had the discussion at this stage the year they made that trade.
Right.
But, most teams would rather wait to actually consummate the deal until the draft comes and unfolds,
right.
So the players that they might be targeting, they know if they're available, whatnot.
Well, I don't think, I would right now, if I was a team in the top 10, right now, I'd let every team know what my trading parameters minimum would be. And if there was something,
I
would.
That's two different things that we're talking
about. I know, but I would do it before the draft if it was right.
I think that starts at the combine when those guys are just sitting in the stands talking.
I wouldn't be afraid to do those things. And, the old saying is, draft day is for picking players, not trading them. That's baloney.
But, old school.
It's for making your team better.
I think Bill was, like Paul is saying, is just saying that they made the deal before.
Maybe
Denver has already contacted San Francisco and asked them, what's it going to take for us to get up there?
Right.
And then, when they're on the clock, that deal might take place.
Right. It might take place, or other things might have happened that blows up
deal.
So there's a downside to waiting, too.
And there's a downside to
doing
it beforehand.
Right.
I think that's why most teams would like to see what happens.
But I think if you see a deal that you like and you think it makes sense, you do it. Don't wait.
But why do you like it? That's
the question. I disagree.
Because
if you trade to number five, you probably have a guy in your mind.
You're targeting somebody.
And he's
gone. You wasted
moving up. You're specifically targeting
somebody. And then you miss a guy.
Well, I mean,
as Bill said, a trade in the top 10 generally is technically a player-for-player deal. It might seem like draft picks for draft picks,
right.
But it's two teams who know the two guys they want.
Well,
right.
It's two, of that pool of five guys, some crazy things might happen, but if we don't exactly get the guy we want, the second best, the fallback thing is good, too.
I think that's dangerous.
It is dangerous. It's a risk because you don't know that Texans are going to take Reggie Bush. We can assume that.
Right.
So then you make a deal with the number two guy, knowing that Vince Young or Matt Leinart's going to be there. But who knows? Maybe they screw you and they take Leinart. Now you're But
that's why I think you're better off.
Someone else could trade up in front of you and get a player that team that you wouldn't even expect.
Right.
Yeah. That's dangerous.
There is.
I don't like doing it before the draft, and I think that's why I think if Bill had his druthers, I think you'd rather wait too. I think he made an example of a time that he didn't wait before the draft, that he and Jimmy Johnson just decided we want to do this anyway. There's no sense of waiting. But I think the overall majority of these deals, I think you'll see, they get consummated during the draft.
My feeling is that, and I think it's changing a little bit, but the egos of some of these quote-unquote football guys in these front offices is so much that they're afraid to be made to look bad. That's why you don't see mid-season trades and things like that in football, because no one wants to be made to look bad. You know,
I think, and I think that's stupid.
It is stupid.
If somebody offers you a trade and you think it helps your team, make the
every
trade.
But
every
these guys had the mentality. Well, why is he offering me that?
Right.
You know.
Well, every team's made a bad trade and every team's made a bad draft pick. So.
But I think that this whole thing about football people, you know, and you know, only football people should make football decisions, and it's football. Okay, it's not rocket science.
It's football people.
Yeah.
No, I think. The bigger issue, I think, with trades is how difficult it
Can
is.
Can you believe
to
it? It's football time
in the NFL because of the contracts.
What's that, Paul? I'm sorry. It's supposed to be Carroll.
Due to the contracts, I think it's tougher to make trades because you have to line up. It's like the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, it's not as complicated, but a team that's trading a guy has to not only lose the player but absorb the cap hit, and sometimes that makes it, you know, prohibitive to do. And I think that's, I don't think necessarily if you could just go one for one swap guys, I think you'd see a better share of that. Plus in football, there's so much, you know, in season trades I'm talking about now, Fred, you're talking in football, there's so much reliance on the system
that's
that a guy
true.
Plays in.
That's
it's
true.
Very hard for a guy to go through training camp and play four games with a team, and then all of a sudden he goes from the Patriots, he's an outside linebacker in a 3-4 in the Patriots, and then you're asking him to do something totally different with another team that might play,
nope,
you know, a 4-3.
That's
and,
a good point.
You know, I think that makes
that's a good
tough.
Point. That's a good point. But I'm still holding to my belief that there's a lot of guys in front offices in the NFL who, you know, are afraid to be made to look bad.
No, I don't necessarily.
Their ego gets in the way of doing the right thing sometimes, or taking a chance. You know, going with your gut. You think this guy's good, do it. You know. So, I was interested. AJ Smith from the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Recent quote. You know, he's got a little spat going on with Marty Schottenheimer. Not necessarily seen on the same page. And Alex Spanos, who's the owner, has told them to knock it off, at least in public. And recently Smith said, they asked Smith, you know, is he doing all these player movements just to put his coach in a bad position? And he said, you know, I don't need to do that. I could just go to the owner and, you know, tell him to get rid of him. But I guess he's already tried that and it didn't work.
Right,
so.
Right. You know, I don't know what – it's a weird thing. If you're the general manager – does dismantling your team to make it worse so you can get rid of the coach, does that really work to your benefit?
Right. No, it's ridiculous.
It doesn't
that's
really seem
makes
like it
you
makes
look
a
bad
lot of sense.
You're
right.
The GM.
You're the one making all these deals.
Yeah, but that's a bad situation.
And they, you know, and they made
not
a trade.
Not really sure what they're doing.
Now, the trade that they made was Sammy Davis, right?
Yeah.
He traded for a wide receiver.
Sean Woods.
I think that was a pretty good deal. And I don't know if Sean Woods is just a total bust. He's done absolutely nothing in the NFL in his 2 years. I liked him a lot coming out of college. I don't know what you'd be interested to hear Tom's view.
I liked him a lot.
I thought he was a big playmaking wide receiver at Oklahoma State.
I
really liked
steal.
Him. I thought he was a steal at the bottom of that first round that year. My only worry was there were just so many wide receivers taken that year that, you know, you kind of wonder, is to, you know, do all of these deserve to be first
right.
round picks? And San Diego needs some receivers. They have McCardell, but that's about it. You know, in terms of proven commodities. If they're just going to – that's one thing. When you make a trade that you could make an argument, okay, that benefited us. But are you just going to have a fire sale where you're going to get rid of Donnie Edwards and, you know, who's the special teamer that we were talking about?
Oh, Milligan.
Milligan. Yeah. I mean, are you just going to start getting rid of all these guys? And, you know, like you said, how many trades do you see, Fred? They have like three or four guys on the trading block. I mean, it doesn't seem like there's any thought really involved in that.
Absolutely. All right. So the big news, obviously, since the last show we had was Richard Seymour resigning with the Patriots, and I think that's good news.
First reported by Patriots Football Weekly's Paul Perillo.
Hey, young lady. Yeah. What's your name?
Actually, it wasn't first reported, but I think most accurately reported.
I'm not sure that's accurate either.
Oh.
Hey, young lady.
It's accurate. My report was accurate, sort of.
All right. Well, anyway, we got it right that it was 4 years based on various sources.
That was the one part that
we weren't
2009
right in the fact that we thought that the contract started in 2007.
By the next day, it said 2009, so it was accurate.
The beauty of the internet.
So that was the big news, and that, I think, relieved a lot of fans' concerns that the Patriots were letting all these guys slip away. Now we kind of see that they were working on something with Seymour, and it's big dollars.
But the question is,
okay,
they had supposedly $20 million
right.
in cap space.
Never enough for this
And
guy.
They kept Richard Seymour's cap number identical for this year.
So it really does nothing for this year.
$20 million.
Yeah. But I don't think they could have done anything otherwise.
But so don't tell me they were saving cap space to do this deal.
Okay, wait, that leads to my second part.
I have a question on your first part of this.
Okay. Leon Branch is going to get a $10 million roster bonus.
Why? You just made a comment in the middle of Andy's thing. They couldn't have done anything else.
Well, they could have raised his cap after August if they wanted to wait for the deal.
That's not true.
Why? They can't give a raise.
The 12-month thing?
Yeah.
Irrelevant.
We read it.
You read it wrong.
What do you mean I read it wrong?
The 12-month thing did not apply in this case.
Why?
I can't say.
Because they did something before?
I can't say. Last year's thing did not start a 12-month calendar.
Okay, all right. So you know something that I don't.
Yes. I didn't get a chance to talk
to you. I didn't read it wrong. I read the rule right.
Out of the 1988 collective bargaining agreement.
No, that's the most recent one.
I'm kidding.
No.
But the listeners don't know you're kidding.
Okay,
sorry. We're trying to give them accurate information.
That's why I'm asking Paul to give us accurate information.
First of all, we kind of went off on a tangent. The first thing you said, they couldn't have done anything else. I think Andy was saying...
They couldn't give him a raise.
They have all of this cap space.
And they still have it.
And we were told that, you know, and some people, now we understand why they weren't doing anything. Well, why? Why... Did signing Richard Seymour to a contract extension that didn't eat up additional cap space preclude them from entering the free agent market?
Well, but now here's the second part. We see more.
I think that was Andy's question.
Are you encouraged? Do you see what I'm seeing? Some guys that we didn't think were going to be available are starting to become available by teams.
Who?
Rumors, give me an example.
Yeah, I can. I got to look it up. But okay. Rumors of guys that you know are going to be released by teams. Guys who don't want to sign, like the guy from Arizona, who doesn't necessarily want to be there now.
Who?
Javon Walker was talking about not wanting to be there.
Javon Walker's been talking about not wanting to be there for a year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, Brett Favre, this time last year was
you're playing a dangerous game,
right.
Though.
Now we went from, Eric Moulds is going to be here. Oh, he's not here. Well, we'll take the next
who
one.
Who aren't happy and may or may not be there.
I think there's going to be guys that are released, not just because of June 1st.
Okay, and the Patriots will be the only teams that are after them?
No, but they'll have plenty of money to do it with.
So all of a sudden they're going to overspend now that Jimmy Smith? They're going to overspend?
I didn't say that. You're saying that. What I'm saying is everybody wants them to spend this money.
It won't be overspending when the Patriots
Everybody says, they got $20 million, they should spend it. Well, they're not going to just spend it just to spend it.
But if the
Bills or the Cardinals did the same thing, people would be ripping them a new you-know-what if they weren't spending their money.
But you know what? They would be right to do so because that's a routine thing with the Cardinals case, not the Bills case. But the Cardinals case, that would be a routine thing where they have free agent money to spend and they don't spend it.
Right.
The Patriots aren't in this situation very often.
But I think it's okay if
Cardinals
people are
upset aren't even flying
that they're
people
not...
in for tryouts that are draft picks.
Maybe they know who Denny Green likes Vince Young. He already said it.
Denny Green did it when he was with the Vikings. It's the Bidwells that don't do it. They're cheap.
Now, the other part of it is that the whole, and I didn't get a chance to talk to you, late on Thursday, you were there when I went over to talk to this person, and when I get back, you were gone. I don't know what time this was.
Had a meeting.
This was late on Friday. This was like 5:30, quarter of six or so. Andy, you were gone for 5-6 hours. Tom had just left for the gym. Evidently,
give us some information or not.
I have to be careful. Okay, I was sworn to secrecy, and I don't know exactly the specific of the deal, so I can't really blow it out of the water anyway because I don't really know it, but. Here's what I do know for a fact. Whatever they did last year in training camp, last August, did not start the 12-month window.
Okay.
So there was no 12-month parameter they had to be in. Now, I have no idea why giving a guy a raise doesn't qualify as a restructuring or a raise to the contract per what we read in the collective bargaining agreement. He wouldn't tell me.
And well, then the next question I would ask is, why was it structured as it was structured?
Sounds to me like the Patriots found a loophole that they did not necessarily want to make public to help other teams.
That's what I was told.
I'm just telling you.
Okay, that's fine. But my next question
I don't have the
why
answer.
Is it structured $5 million this year, $18.5 million next year, and why is it structured that way?
I just thought that's some information that hasn't been out there that I could say. And, you know, he said it was okay if I said that, so I said it. But I don't really understand it all. I'll try, you know, as the days go by here to get some follow-up and maybe fill in some of the blanks of the details as to why, you know, the contract is structured. He's getting money this year.
I know.
But it's a two-tiered bonus, so basically, even though it's not two different signing bonuses, but it's very similar to Brady.
No, but it's a little different in that it goes from $5 million to almost $19
million. Yeah, it's that's small.
Brady's
it's
was like 12.
Small
12,
bonus in the first year.
Brady's was kind of divided.
I think it was 14 and 12, 26
right.
total.
I mean, that's
right?
pretty close. That's saying, well, you know, we divvy it up. I don't want to write you a check today for $26
million. And I will definitely say this, you know, maybe not in name, but there's something like $28 million in change of this deal is basically guaranteed mm-hmm. for Richard Seymour. This, well, in my opinion, you know.
Here's my favorite.
This, in my opinion, blows any of those other ones out of the water.
Ridiculous contract. I didn't really understand. Everybody wrote.
And
when
you
know,
say
not
ridiculous,
a,
you don't mean bad. You mean
no.
It's just,
I think it's
you
good
know,
for yeah. both sides in the way it works out. But people were saying this is not a break the bank kind of contract.
Oh yeah.
I think it is. I think it's one of the best contracts I have ever seen.
I think it's a good, a very, very good contract for the player, and I think it's a very, very good contract for the team the way it's structured.
Right.
And I'll give the Patriots front office credit again for coming up with different ways to do these kinds of things. And it's definitely cap friendly, at least to start here.
Right.
And I don't think they're ever going to be in a position where they're going to be, you know, strapped, where they're going to be gun to their head.
$11 million in the end is a lot, but not by the time you get to that big cap number. And if you're saying he's a 28-year-old best player at his position in the league,
it's only a four-year deal. It's a $3.65 million in base salary the last year.
Right.
That's unbelievable.
Well, I mean, the cap number's 11 for that
year. I understand
year,
that.
To me,
but that's not that
one
big of a
year
number.
At $11 million, I can live with
an $11 million cap number 4 years from now. In right. my opinion, is not that big of a number. There's plenty of guys playing with $11 million cap numbers now.
But I still have the question: why was it structured as it was structured? Why are you sitting with now, Fred? You're going with the there's going to be players available. They'll use that. I personally would be fine if they give Deion Branch a deal and they give him a $10 million roster bonus that you get rid of. It's not on the books moving forward.
Now,
boom. I have no problem with that.
I got to tell you, I'd be more inclined to believe something like that is about to happen than I would that they have their eyes on any players that might be available.
Right. I mean, you can use a million here if you want to sign.
Don't think the Patriots operate
whoever.
That way. Someone may.
To me, that's a great way to use that up is you're not on the books beyond this year, really, for Deion Branch.
Whether or not you think someone may be released and that's what they're waiting for, I just don't think the Patriots are going to spend money just to spend it.
No,
I don't
think. I agree with
Fred, you're mentioning Javon Walker. Do you know what kind of contract he wants? You know what I'm saying?
I'm just saying, do you notice, have you been reading what I'm reading? You read the same things I read.
Yeah.
Guys now, it looks like this guy might be released. It looks like that guy might be released. We had no, you know.
Not a lot of them are very attractive names to me, to be honest with you.
Yeah, who have you seen? Can you look up?
I mean, Jimmy Smith is 110 years old. He dropped 16 passes in the playoff game last year.
Who?
Jimmy Smith.
That's not
even. He's one of the guys that's out there
that
going to get
even,
released.
But that wasn't that guy wasn't even on my radar. I didn't even know that.
Who's on your radar?
I'll have to look it up.
But I don't understand how you know the guy, but you don't know the guy.
I just remember reading it. I go, oh, okay. I didn't know that. That's interesting.
You know, Jimmy Smith was the Patriots MVP in that wild card game.
You know?
Can I bring this full? I just wanted to. I looked up. We were talking about the trade that Dallas and Cleveland made that before. I was kind of interested, so I looked it up in the Dallas media guide. Dallas got the 36th pick in the draft.
Tom, you sure you don't want a piece?
I'm sure.
Dallas got the 36th pick in the draft and the 121st pick in the draft, a fifth-round pick. Cleveland got a second-round pick. I don't have the exact number because I can't find their media guide. A third-round pick, a sixth-round pick, an eighth-round pick, and a 12th-round pick. I don't know what that means. I'm just saying that was the trade.
That's the only trade that they made, you know, during the 91 to 92.
It was 92, I think. And Jimmy Smith was the pick.
Yeah, Jimmy Smith.
The 36th pick was Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, you know what they did with Jimmy Smith?
I cut him.
Tom?
They cut him because he almost died. he had a kidney disease in the hospital. The guy was like green, and
so
the Cowboys cut
said
him.
He hasn't signed that contract yet.
But I should say Mel Kiper said when they made the pick at 36 that Jimmy Smith would be a future Pro Bowler and a great player in the NFL. Just for all,
Tom's idol.
People always bring up the when Kiper's wrong. I'd like to bring up when he's right too. It's only fair.
Okay,
it's only fair.
Can't
we just be fair?
Ty Law reports that he, in fact, has had a few conversations with Bill Belichick. Nothing in
that
depth.
Involved money or
and I'm glad you brought that up,
nothing
Fred.
Specific, but...
I'm glad you brought that up.
Door is open.
Last week I had made the comment that I didn't necessarily believe it because Ty was just saying, yeah, you know, the Patriots are one of those teams. Well, when one of the postings, I forget which one it was, if it was Carl or Kevin.
The one who's still allowed to practice, I believe.
Yeah, whatever. I have no respect for either one of them, but it doesn't matter. But
I think they all now say Kevin Poston is their agent, not Carl.
And they specifically had quotes from him I mean, specific quotes. I find it hard to believe that they were just made up quotes and someone just made some conversation up. I know it does happen.
Hey,
I know
what's
agents,
up, Bill? How you doing?
I know agents sometimes aren't the most credible sources, but I
saw Drew Rosenhaus on the TV on phone calls that weren't existing. He was pretending to be on the phone.
I find it hard to That's believe perfect. That he just made up a quote that he had direct conversations
the
with.
The Steelers are moving off.
So anyway, last week I had mentioned I was skeptical, and I want to say I was wrong.
It was that there was no money talks or specifics about this year. It was, you know, yeah. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
It very well, hey, Andy, it very well could have been the conversation from last year.
What's up, Bill?
Hey, what's up, Bill? How you doing?
See, there it was.
That was the greatest.
How did we get that on tape?
Do you remember that day? That was, it was either mini camp, or, it might have been mini camp in June, 2 years ago. And after the whole, Tom Curran called it the Ty Law Hungry Man Tour.
That was totally taken out of context.
He comes in and they ask him, you know, if you talked to Bill, you know, what did you talk about? And that's what he said.
Hey, what's up, Bill? How you doing?
All right, we got a lot of emails, and we're going to get to them right after this. After this.
Oh, now it's shot! Unbelievable! 3-2, Taylor Twellman!
Wear what the pros wear, exclusively from the Revolution Pro Shop. Conveniently located at Gillette Stadium, it's the perfect place to get all of your official New England Revolution apparel. The Revolution Pro Shop features apparel made by Adidas, the official apparel provider of the MLS. Everything from jerseys and sweatshirts to hats and jackets. Give your jersey a kick by having the Pro Shop customize it with the name and number of your favorite player, or the name and number of your choice. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants, the Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open to the public from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Can't get to the stadium? The Revolution Online Pro Shop is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player or coach wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room. 2000 brought Tom Brady.
Tom Brady launches a 60-yard bomb.
Next, it was future Pro Bowler Richard Seymour.
Patriots' terrific first-round draft
pick. And don't forget about Super Bowl 39 MVP Deion Branch.
Touchdown, Deion Branch.
Who will be the next to make their mark for the New England Patriots? Find out on Saturday, April 29th. Huddle up at the home of the three-time world champions at the 2006 Patriots NFL Draft Party. Watch the draft on huge TV screens and get War Room updates from the Patriots front office. The Patriots Draft Party features a lunch buffet, raffles, free parking, visits from the Patriots cheerleaders and alumni, and much more. The Patriots are looking for a few good men.
With the 21st pick, the New England Patriots select.
And you can be there. Tickets for this event are $65. For more information or to purchase tickets, log on to Patriots.com or call 508-698-8590. The 2006 Patriots Draft Party, presented by the Massachusetts Army National Guard. Sunday, April 30th, the New England Revolution kickoff 2006 at Gillette Stadium. The defending MVP Taylor Twellman, Rookie of the Year Michael Parkhurst, and the Eastern Conference champion Revs want you there on opening day.
Oh, that shot! Unbelievable! Taylor Twellman! Gillette Stadium explodes!
Tickets start at just $18, and all fans at Gillette Stadium will take home a 2006 schedule magnet sponsored by Bank of America. Experience soccer celebration and park for free. New England Revolution Soccer is a fun, affordable day for the whole family. And for those Idol fans out there, don't miss an opening day performance by local Idol Ayla Brown.
Hey, this is Ayla Brown from American Idol. Join me at the New England Revolution Sunday, April 30th. It's opening day at Gillette Stadium.
Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GIFREVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222. And get your kicks, get your ticks, and get the Revolution.
He's one of the players that we like. I never said three. That's your number, not mine. I said two or three.
All right. Ayla Brown, huh, Gary? Wow, that's great.
Gonna be Why is that great?
She's a big name.
She's a nobody.
She's a nobody.
I agree with you. I think American Idol's still going, and she's not part of it.
Can we get into American Idol a little bit? I didn't see it last night. Okay. Who was impressive?
I think
I was bored out of
Paris,
my mind.
Yeah, but you're not exactly the most...
Catherine.
Impartial.
And...
Paris, Chris,
Paul, they were Paris all, was horrible.
Paul,
Paris was horrible.
They were virtually all good because all they did was sit there and sing these old, easy songs.
Like,
to
what
sing.
Kind of songs did they sing?
It was like the standards, like, you know, someone to, you know, like the lounge song.
So boring.
It was covers
someone to
of Rod
watch
Stewart's
over me. Covers, right?
Yeah, but he did a whole album.
It wasn't Rod Stewart. it wasn't like
no,
hot
it was like, you know,
that's what I mean. He covered old songs, and now they're covering
more Frank Sinatra.
I would have enjoyed that.
No, Paul, you wouldn't have, because when I was watching it, I said, it's not like this is Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin stuff I would actually enjoy, so it's not what you think it was.
Obviously, they weren't able to be there last night. I don't know if you know.
It was a good night for them.
Playing down the street on Thursday nights, according to their billboard.
Where are they now?
What?
Playing down the street at that restaurant we went to.
So wait a minute. Paris
was either
like
good
Fred or
she liked stunk. It, but I was bored.
Paris was excellent.
Who'd you think? What'd you think of Paris?
I thought she was all right.
All right.
I thought she was bad.
That's 2-1, Gary.
The last
Simon
I thought
she
sucked.
Was great.
It's actually kind of 1-1-1.
Didn't even watch it.
Lukewarm.
Never watch the show.
Chris,
it's in HD.
Chris has got to be the favorite still, right?
Yep.
Now, if he could sing one of those songs last night, sang Summerland.
He's saying "It's a Wonderful World." It was the only song I knew. The rest of this.
You've heard all those songs.
I never heard them because I'm not 90 years old, Fred.
Neither am I, but I've heard them.
Paul is.
Yeah, don't be like Andy if it didn't happen before.
Yeah, it's very unbecoming.
It was boring, Fred. The show was boring. Everybody I talked to said the same thing until I came into work, and you and Gary loved it.
What do those two guys have in common?
All right.
Good taste?
No.
Anyway,
so we liked Chris. We liked
Catherine,
who I think is coming on in recent
years. Yeah, she's definitely
coming on. What's up, Vito?
Yeah, Chris, Catherine. I thought Paris was great.
Our guy was good.
Who was the third? I thought Taylor Hicks
Taylor
was
pretty
good.
He was
Taylor
good.
Bounced back again. Yeah. He had a good week last week.
He had a good week.
Kelly Pickler was just
awful.
Hideous.
She even said I butchered it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I think she's been pretty good lately. Too.
I never liked her.
Well, I don't like her personality, Fred. I agree with you on that. She's pretty hot, though.
All right. If you feel like idiots.
If you like. Nah, never mind. I don't want to go into the Andy Hart level.
All right. So.
Blue Blunt.
Got a lot of emails coming in, and that's great. Gary, I see you're on iTunes. What number is Patriots Podcast now?
Gary, it says here you enjoy
New
iTunes.
Go to the podcast page and type in New England Patriots.
I thought I couldn't subscribe here at work.
Quebec. Tom, it says here you're a draft expert.
Go to the podcast page and type in New England Patriot. No, you can't do that. Go to the podcast page and on the right, click the sports category. And then see
while
what number
our
we
fans are clicking
see
off.
What, see what number top
rating is
ranked.
Falling as we speak. It was bad enough that I broached the American Idol topic, but now he's got
top
navigating the net.
Top 100 ranked sports podcasts, and see where we are. All right, let's get to some of these emails here.
Yeah.
Have you even given out the email address and the phone number yet?
Number 69. Because we were 71, so that wouldn't be outside the realm of possibility.
How do you get the top 100?
You go to sports podcasts.
I came downstairs.
I'm there.
And then click on the bottom and just keep going down.
You know that,
no,
something about
you're
going
not
down.
In the rankings. You're not in the
you
rankings.
You always got to do it.
You got to go to the homepage of podcasts.
You and Vito.
The home.
What's up, Vito?
That's not the homepage of podcasts.
I went to the homepage of podcasts. You said go to sports. I did that.
On the right. On
we
the right.
We do this another
says,
time.
Where it says top 100 podcasts.
You got Tom so
I'm
bad.
Pretty much open for three to five today. We could do this.
Right.
You got Tom so
top
bad.
100
so
podcasts.
Click sports. It's Mike and Ice.
Click sports.
Why don't we let Gary do that while we read emails?
All right. Let's.
There you go.
Let's get to some emails. This is from Justin.
Justin.
And he calls us a Patriots think tank. That's
okay. Homage to Frank Totick.
He says
tank that holds something, but I'm not sure it's thinking.
He wrote this in advance, but he said first the show hasn't gone in the gutter.
All pretty much in
your journalist skills are second only to your boob jokes.
Nice.
All right.
I like boob jokes.
If the team, any NFL team,
boobs.
Signs a say inside linebacker to a 6-year, $30 million deal with a $3.2 million signing bonus, and during week 6 of the first year, the guy suffers a career-ending injury, say crushed testicle. What is A, the team's responsibility financially, and B, what will the player be owed? He will be owed...
You got how much for a signing bonus?
$3.2 million.
Okay, so he gets that automatically.
Yeah. He's already got it.
Okay, he already has that. So that went down to... $26.8 million.
Whatever is guaranteed,
right. But none of that'll be guaranteed. So
we don't know
his salary.
So whatever his base salary was for year one, he gets.
Yes.
And then he gets
guaranteed
his salary was.
Contract.
He will be on the cap the following year for $2.7 million of dead money.
But wait, he got hurt in the second year?
No, he got hurt in the
first
year, game six.
So all that is accelerated.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
If they chose to get rid of him.
Right.
If they kept him for a while, not knowing it was career ending at the time.
crushed nut.
Then he could get.
Oh, you can play with a crushed nut.
He can get his.
Johnson's been playing without a.
Oh, hey now.
He had a pelvis injury.
All right. Two, Flutie isn't on the current roster. Has he been released or just not re-signed? What is your feeling about Ellis Hobbs' performance last year? What was that just more of a rookie going all out to impress and get a few breaks? Or do you think he can maintain that level this year? And Tom, who is running back Earl Charles?
Earl Charles is from Marshall, right?
Yeah, he was in.
Yeah, he's the one that is in NFL Europe.
Camp?
Yeah, he was. He's the guy.
Camp. I know he was on the roster. For,
yeah, he's the guy from Marshall. He's got no chance of making the team. Right. None.
Flutie is just not re-signed. Doesn't look like he will be re-signed. Ellis Hobbs.
For an update on that?
No.
I'm sure you'll have a call coming.
I think Ellis Hobbs is legit.
Ellis Hobbs, I thought, played well at times last year. It's certainly not just a rookie, you know.
And he's not
going to
stop
trying. You don't stop
trying.
Yeah.
Speaking of re-signing.
Skills. I like
70, Fred.
Number 70. We went up.
We're up one. One more.
Three ahead of the Steelers.
Oh, boy.
But that's not the Steelers. That's My Sports Radio Steelers. That's not produced by them.
So it's even worse because it's a fan site and we're only three spots ahead of them.
The problem with those, they started, so there's this thing called My Sports Radio where you can go on and create your own podcast.
Oh.
A lot of those, they've been going on for a long time, so they have
a big head start.
They're terrible, though.
Big head start on us.
Yeah.
How do you know they're terrible?
Like they're talking about American Idol and stuff like that.
Yeah, listen to them. They're giving them votes.
Do you
think? No wonder they're.
No, he's not subscribing to it.
Subscribe to
it.
Oh, so this rating is purely based on subscription.
Subscription,
not download.
Not download.
Okay.
Right.
So I don't have to bother
download once is not a subscription. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Three, do you think that Joe Adai will be available, and if so, would we take him at number 21?
I think he'd be available if he takes it at 21. There's going to be a few guys jumping off the roof at Gillette Stadium, two of them being Andy Hart and Tom Casale.
Okay.
Tom, tell him what Joseph Adai is.
As Andy says, Joseph Adai is just a guy.
He's not even in the ballpark for me at 21.
Second
I'm not even sure I want him in the second round.
But, I mean, that's where he's supposed to go,
yeah.
Right? Second
well,
round.
Some people have him in the late first round, like the last couple picks.
I mean, if you open a hole and this guy goes straight through, he'll score in 5 seconds.
Mike
he's
Cloud.
That fast. Right. But he's got no cutting ability. He's got no vision. He's just got pure straight speed. Now, he does other things well. Like he catches the ball, but he doesn't make people miss in the open field.
But he can pass protect.
He can
pass
protect.
Do all these little things.
So he's a good player to have.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Would you rather have Patrick Pass or him?
Same Adai.
Guy.
Really?
The same guy.
I would rather have Adai if I could draft him in the third or fourth round where he won't be.
Well, where did Pass get drafted?
Seventh.
Seventh.
Oh, seventh? Was he seventh?
Yeah. I just think
I think that's the guy you're talking about. A similar kind of can do a bunch of things.
And I can't get
But Adai might have a bigger heart.
Oh, that's right. I'll take Joseph Adai. I forgot
I want a guy with
Patrick
an enlarged
Pass.
Heart. That could
I'm swollen.
Patrick Pass will be grabbing his hamstring.
By the way, New England's largest newspaper pointed out that the Patriots let Adam Vinatieri go, but Richard Seymour chose to stay, just so you know.
Okay.
Chris writes in, people have been talking.
I don't understand. What's that mean?
It's just, you know, the Patriots, when a guy goes, it's the Patriots let him go. They didn't want it. But when a guy wants to stay, it's because that player chose to stay.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
People have
it's your paper.
Not my paper. I told you I'm
your
off.
Your favorite paper.
I'm off that
He's
paper.
He's off a lot of things.
I'm off that paper.
He's off the Broncos, the paper.
And Chinese food.
And Chinese food.
Speaking of the Broncos, did you bring your jersey?
Paper? What?
You bring your jersey?
I'm
you
not.
You trade it in, get your 20% off a new jersey?
No. Look, I stick by my guys. Mecklenburg, Elway. They're
you
not
stick
on the
by
team
your
anymore.
Guys?
Right.
My guys.
That is
when you turn on guys that were
Patriots
in less than 30 seconds.
I stick by my guys. He's been busting my you-know-whats for 5 years now because I like players and not necessarily, you know, the uniform. And now all of a sudden he gives
I stick by my guys. I root for the Patriots.
Right, yeah. So you don't like your
I
guys.
Root for the uniform, too, Fred.
I root for the Patriots.
It's not the same one you do.
I was going to say, what uniform is that, Tom?
There's certain players that, you know, in all sports that I'm a huge fan of. Chris writes in, people have been talking like we need to solve the Patriots kicker problem this year, but maybe the talent in this year's draft is weaker than the talent in next year's draft, so maybe there is a really good kicker next year like Mason Crosby from Colorado.
There's no kicker next year that's better than kickers this year. I'll guarantee you that.
How do you know that?
Because there's a lot of good kickers coming out this
year.
Well,
I mean, my point is they do need to solve their kicking problem this year.
There's,
they need to at least try to go for it.
But there's a good, I mean, you need there's a good four or five of these rookie kickers that, that can land on the squad this year. That's kind of a high number for kickers. There's usually like maybe one or two. So what I'm saying is, as far as kickers go, this is a pretty good crop. So if you're going to get one, you might as well get one now and not lose four games by a point because you can't make a kick.
Or at the very least, you're a year into his development as an NFL kicker.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, Gramatica might turn out to be the answer. He may be, you know, bounce back from what he says were injury problems in 2003 and 2004, and maybe he's the, you know, the answer to replace Adam Vinatieri. But he, whether he is or not, you need a kicker. If he's not the answer, then you need someone else. If he is the answer, then that's your, I mean, you can't just go into a season without a kicker.
No.
I mean, you need to have someone that you can rely on reasonably, you know, make some kicks. I mean, as bad as Dallas' situation was last year, they did win a couple of games by late field goal. I mean, you have to have a kicker.
And you also, you get in a dangerous game. You keep projecting for everything. Well, we're going to sign some players after June 1st. We're going to draft a kicker in 2 years. Well, what about this year and now and the present?
Phil from Stafford Springs, Connecticut. I agree with Annie Hart 100%.
Nice.
Our drafts in recent years have not been that good. Stay away from drafting safety.
Time out. I never said
what I told you about. That's totally the opposite
actually,
of what he
Andy
said.
Actually, Andy said the drafts have been great.
I listed the last 5 years the fact that the top two picks in each draft are currently starters on the team, and I doubted that
I never said that
other team in the league would be able to say that. They've had some misses. I thought, what is it, 2004 was a hideous. That's Marquise Hill, right?
Yeah, that was a bad draft.
Awful draft later on. But aside from that, they've hit at the top and then had a sprinkling of a couple guys here or there. I even list. This is all based on an AskPFW where the guy listed
all the guys.
The guy listed PK Sam, Dexter Reed, all these guys that couldn't play, but he just skipped right over Dan Copen, Asani Samuel, Dion.
Right.
You know, anybody that could have, you know, helped him. So
if 30% of every one of your drafts end up playing a lot, you've got a good record. I mean, it's like almost batting in baseball.
There's a lot. If you
a 350 batting average is damn good.
If you go back and look at teams' drafts throughout the years, there's just so many misses.
Right. Yeah, every team.
Yeah.
You know?
So I think they are well above average, based even if you just base it on the fact that the first two picks are always starters.
Yep.
They're above average.
Yeah.
But then you throw in a Tom Brady, a David Givens, a Dan Copen, and a Asani Samuel.
I mean,
now you're saying some pretty good depth there.
Now, you know,
Dan Klecko.
When you look back at...
That's a bad one. You missed a couple.
At the Bill Parcells, Bobby Greer draft, some of them were just god-awful. And then they got worse.
Of course, the ones that built the franchise.
Fred thinks he's going to slip that one in on me.
There was a
Fred
couple there that were pretty good.
There were no Bill Parcells.
Those guys were
drafts,
still winning Super Bowls 10 years later.
Right. Bill Parcells drafts, and then there were Bobby Greer drafts.
But then Carroll came on, and it was really Bobby Greer. Oh, my God. Some of these guys.
Those 3 years.
Damon Denson.
They picked two
good players. Chris Kane's a smart kid.
Damian Woody and Kevin Falk. Yeah. In three drafts.
And that's it.
Didn't they Mark Jackson cheap shot at me at midfield.
They drafted...
I don't consider Katzmoyer a bust. He was injury related.
I thought he stunk in college, so I'll consider him a bust. I had Al Wilson rated way ahead of him.
I had him on my fifth board. I'll give him some... I'll cut. All right.
What 90, like
97.
14, then?
97 was a total watch.
Forever.
Ready?
Fred, he's older than you think he is.
Chris Canty, Brandon Mitchell, Cedric Shaw, Chris Carter, Damon Denson, Ed Ellis, Vernon Crawford, Tony Gator, Scott Rayburg. 97.
Oh, God.
Oh for the draft. With the 98, I'll give him... I'll cut him some slack on Robert Edwards, although I never thought Robert Edwards was worthy of his draft status, and I don't think he was going to be anywhere near as good as a lot of other people thought he was going to be.
I don't either.
But that said, he ran for 1,100 yards as a rookie, and... You know, his career was cut short.
Was him around?
To Bucky Jones, Tony Simmons, Rod Rutledge, Chris Floyd, Greg Spires, good solid pick in Spires.
Mm-hmm.
Leonta Reams, Ron Merkerson, Harold Shaw, and Jason Anderson.
Jesus.
Another terrible draft. 99, Damian Woody, good pick. Andy Katzenmoyer, even if you want to say, you know,
big
Andy
Woods,
a good player.
DC.
I don't know, man. That's
Kevin Falk,
that's
good
where
pick.
When you sit down with him and you ask him the questions that elicit the type of... You should figure out that this guy
Tony George, Derek Fletcher, Marcus Washington, Michael Bishop, and Sean Morey. I mean, just
awful.
Bad.
Awful. Awful.
And they also used a supplemental pick on Juwan Cherry.
So, not Gerard.
You can't
not
get Gerard. Much worse than that.
Him.
Yeah, you can. There's a media guide right here with a star on it.
Oh.
That's true.
All right.
Be it one day. It's bad.
Scott from Washington, I'm still wondering about Greenway. I really like the guy, and I understand that you don't care for him as much. Could you please give me a little bit more of your pros and cons on him, and maybe a guess as to where he belongs in the draft, late first rounder? Nope. Maybe for your patience. Thanks for your patience on this one. He's a guy I like a lot, and if he fell to 21, I'd be tempted to take him. But, again, your thoughts are much appreciated. Also, I think Holmes is better than Jackson, but where do you expect those two to go? I think Jackson's super-fast combine performance may have elevated him and allow Holmes, who I think is the better receiver, to fall to 21. So I'm wondering if you think Jackson or maybe both receivers will be on the board before 21. I expect San Diego and KC to focus on DBs ahead of us. Okay, so first, Chad Green.
Well, I'm going to do a thing on the fallers at linebacker for Friday.
Called the Chad Greenway story.
Yeah, so I'll have most of my things on there, so I'll let Andy take most of this. But we just watching, he's always running free. He's not fighting off block. Like, you watch A.J. Hawk, he's taking guys, he's throwing them, he's making plays. Greenway, I mean, there's another former Hawkeye linebacker roaming around here who said the same thing. You know, he doesn't engage in blockers. He's a good coverage linebacker, but I just don't see much other than that.
But is he the guy that the other team chose to allow to run free? And that's why you don't see a lot of that on tape?
I just think he's a good college player.
You know, they pick their poison. They go after Hawk, make sure that he's...
No, you're on the wrong team. No, Greenway was by far the best player on the Iowa defense.
Oh, Iowa. Yeah. Right. Why am I thinking Ohio State?
Because you're thinking Carpenter and Hawk. Maybe.
Okay. Right. All right.
But Greenway, I think he's slow. Even though I'm surprised at how good he is in coverage, because I don't think he's got the speed. He doesn't have the strength. He, I think, has good instincts, which really help him, but I see him running around blocks, ducking under blocks, cutting behind guys. I don't think he's going to be able to do that at the next level. And as Tom said, a former Hawkeye kind of said some positive things about him, but then compared him to Matt Chatham and maybe a special teamer at this level, and that's fine. He may be a very productive backup and whatever at the next level, but there's his name was as high as like 12 or whatever.
And I had heard that he had a better pro day. Obviously, his combine workout was not very good from what you guys talked about. I heard he had a better pro day and maybe had restored some faith in some people that
some people seem to love him.
You know what? He's one of those guys that some people love and some people don't think he's ever going to even be a starter.
Right. Some people watch the tape I look where I say he's not taking on blocks and he's ducking and wow, look at this guy's
totally
instincts.
Right.
He finds a way to the ball every play.
That's the kind of guy he is.
He was productive.
Andy and
you can't question
like, right.
In high school he was productive. In college he was productive.
So,
ridiculously
so. Basically,
so.
We say that we don't really like him. But we're not saying that the guy can't play. We're saying that we don't really think that he's worthy of the lofty draft status that
and
he's kind of
personally don't think he'll ever be a long-term starter in the NFL.
And I'll go one further. I don't think he's made for this system at all. We watched some tape of some other linebackers.
I think Hodge is probably more suited to this system than Greenway is, based on what little I've seen of those two guys.
No question.
And Hodge is
that.
Probably more of a later in the first day kind of guy, like maybe a late second round, third round
guy.
Yeah,
he's in the second round area.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be upset if they got their hands on a guy like that in the third round.
I would cheer that pick. I think he's going to be a pretty good football player in the role you put him in this defense.
Yeah,
I
know he's not
succeed.
Very fast.
Right. But I'm not looking for that. And I said it about the guy from Ohio State, who's the third on that team behind Hawk and Carpenter.
Schlegel.
He's perfect for guard-to-guard tackle.
I actually just wrote in
I don't read your stuff.
I know you don't. That's why I'm telling you.
Okay.
I look for my quotes.
I actually just wrote, we were talking about Oliver Hoyt, and one of his negatives is he's not blazing fast. But I said, when it comes to middle linebacker, I don't need blazing speed.
No.
Ted Johnson doesn't have it. Teddy Bruschi doesn't have it. They play in a short area. I'm looking for instincts. I'm looking for physical play.
Right.
So Abdul Hodge, he might not be the fastest guy in the world, but if he can take on blocks, shed them, and make tackles, that's what I'm looking for in a middle linebacker.
Absolutely. I agree.
I used to love watching Ted Johnson in those drills at training camp where it's just the man on man, you got to shed the block. He was great at that.
Mm-hmm.
It was like those mountain goats that bang up against each other.
I dare say you put Chad Greenway in that drill and he'll get killed 9 times out of 10.
That's the things me and Andy are looking for when we watch a linebackers or guys like
Ted
Johnson.
That was the first sign of Roman Pfeiffer's downfall in those drills that I saw. That he was starting to get abused in those drills. What are you laughing about?
The way you said that was very funny. That was the first time I saw when he was getting beat in those drills.
Well, no, hey.
Did you have the whistle on the clipboard in your hand, too?
You stick to kickers. You're a kicking specialist.
Oh.
He wanted to know why teams were taking away A.J. Hawk and letting Chad Greenway run free.
Well, it would be a good question if it was true. All right, what about the receivers, Jackson and Holmes?
I agree. I think Holmes is the better player. I do.
Jackson's a better player. I think
Andy's wowed by athleticism.
I am wowed by athleticism. I was impressed on the tape because I'd heard these things that he wasn't as productive as he should have been. I was impressed on tape. I was very impressed when I was watching. Crap. I was watching a couple defensive players and Chad Jackson. You know, they were playing Florida. He showed up, made some plays. So I think he's legit. I think he's and he has great hands, which is something I look for in my receivers.
Yeah, he does. But you know what? I'll tell you right now. You know who I think the best receiver in the draft is?
Hank Baskett?
Demetrius Williams, the receiver out of Oregon. I think he's the best receiver in this draft. Someone's going to get him in round two, late round two, early third round, and is going to steal him.
You know who agrees with that? Richard Marshall.
Because he's big. He makes all the catches. He's got speed. And the reason why he's downgraded is because his quarterback, Kellen Clemens, got hurt last year. And so he didn't have the great year because he was playing with backup quarterbacks. But when Clemens was in there, he was almost impossible to stop.
How'd he do in the combine?
Good.
Good.
Well, I also think that, you know, something that Bill talked about today with his in the press conference, everybody seems to be in agreement. Wide receivers, not a great crop this year. And I thought it was interesting the way Bill talked about there aren't a lot of those 6'2", you know, 215 big receivers that seem to be having all the NFL teams salivating in recent years. We talked earlier about Rashawn Woods in that year, 2 years ago, where that class just had seven, eight wide receivers in the first round. There were a lot of big guys taken. There aren't a lot of those prototypes now. They're either small, shifty, you know, speedy guys, or, you know, the bigger guys seem to be a little bit later on, you know, mid-level guys. Maybe there are some good wide receivers in this draft, and they're just not slated to be as high, you know, highly picked. Doesn't necessarily mean that the draft 2 years ago, they may have had them all in the first round, but you might end up with five or six good wide receivers in that draft and five or six good wide receivers in this draft just taken in totally different places.
And I think he uses, you know, there doesn't seem to be a lot of teams knocking themselves over to get those guys. I personally look at the wide receiver crop the way I look at kind of the whole draft in general. There's these couple guys that, okay, maybe they're first-round picks, whatever. Then there's that huge group lower down where it seems like late second, third, fourth round, you're going
to get
a
starting caliber player.
I think receiver and middle linebacker are kind of similar, where there's really no clear-cut stud guy, and then there's a whole bunch of guys in this one area where if you get a guy out of that area that fits your system, you might get a steal in the mid round of the draft.
Right.
Mike writes in, he says, please expound as much as possible. I don't understand the Seymour contract at all. While it is great to keep him and he's one of the best in the league, this contract looks like it is 100% in his favor. The guaranteed amount is fine, but not for only 3 years. The amount per year is fine, but not so much guaranteed. Do you see my point? There is nothing in there that appears to be advantageous to the Pats, other than getting three more years for Seymour. Where is the genius in this contract? Looks like the agent said this is what we want, and the Pats bent over. Also, they say they don't like to set the market. Well, regardless how you spin it, this contract set the market.
What's up, Vito?
Also, what do you guys think of a type of Larry Bird rule in the NFL, at least for one player per year? That was an original draftee of the team and has like 8-plus years of service.
And all this negativity,
it's hard to see Willie and Adam go
sucks
over money.
Well, let's take them separately. The Seymour thing, first of all, is 4 years. And what does the team get out of it? They get the best defensive lineman in football for the next four years.
Yeah, but he's saying that you had him for 06 anyway, so really it's just three extra years.
Okay, then you get the best defensive lineman in football for three more years, you know, without having to get him to free agency where you're bidding against other teams and it would have cost you more than this.
Yeah, if you think this contract
that's the
is big,
the
if you got to free agency, you would have seen a big contract.
You know, so,
as Andy pointed out,
yourself in any way. As Andy pointed out, the cap number, the biggest cap number is 11.
11 million. Just, well, a little
the
bit
last
over,
year,
but essentially
I think
$11 million.
That's not that big.
I
no.
I think what the writer is maybe saying is, if Seymour had a career-ending injury, you'd be screwed because so much of it is guaranteed.
Would be any less screwed if we sign him to a different deal.
He was getting $20 million in guarantee.
Right.
That was happening regardless. That's the ballpark you're in if you want to sign him.
Guys like Richard Seymour.
I'm just trying to talk for the email.
But
you can't be scared of career-ending injury.
A guy like Richard Seymour isn't going to sign a four-year extension worth $30 million with $2 million up front.
Right.
So that way, if he gets hurt, all you owed him was the $2 million. You can wipe him up. You can cut him and you can keep the other $28 million. Guys like Richard Seymour don't agree to those deals.
And
this
contract
is what it costs to get these
guys. A real contract.
Well, I think
it is going to be played and paid out.
I think this is a
contract. For $30 million over the next 4 years.
That is a win-win for both sides. You know, those are the best contracts.
Now, obviously, if he rips up his knee and he can't, you know, in training camp this year and he
or
can't
play fullback.
Again, you know, that's going to be, you know, devastating to the Patriots and to, you know, both financially and on field. That'd be devastating.
Yep.
Same thing if Tom Brady, you know, what if happens if Tom Brady, you know, goes down with a career-ending injury? He had a $60 million
screwed,
contract. You're screwed.
Yep.
That's the way it works.
And look, you know, let's face it.
Oh, no.
You know, you can talk about the Patriots all about what they think of Seymour, but you hear it week after week during the regular season, even when Seymour doesn't really put up numbers, teams saying he's the best out there.
Right.
It's because of his versatility. It's because of the attention that opposing offenses have to pay to him.
He does everything well. He plays the run. He rushes the passer. He can play inside. He can play outside. He does everything extremely well. He's not one of these jack-of-all-trades, master of none. He's a master of all of them.
Yeah.
And he's plus he's good fullback. On the other side. In the locker room,
and Tom and Andy's favorite part.
Yeah, he can play fullback.
Paul Perillo say he's a far better leader in the locker room than Willie McGinnis.
Where'd you hear me say that?
Actually, I saw it on...
Yeah, you had your own post on a message board.
Paul Perillo, P-A-R-R-I-L-O.
Leave my name off those...
Hey, young lady.
I didn't post it. I just read it. It's out
there. You just read it.
It's on the internet.
Anyway.
You're big
but
on
I
the
do,
internet.
I happen to agree with that. I think he's
it's everywhere.
Better.
He's the man of the internet.
It's
much,
everywhere.
I think he's a much better leader than William.
We haven't done the Paul Perillo media tour lately. We're
I'll be on Fox Sports Net Friday night.
Friday
you
night.
You working Friday?
Mohegan Sun Sports Tonight with Gary Tengway and Greg Dickerson.
You working Friday?
Yeah.
Paul Perillo right on target
he's
there.
He's taking
yes.
short, long weekends.
It seems like it's been...
I took the last 2 weeks. I took the long
and
weekend.
And the trend
Jeez.
Is continuing.
You, and you, I don't need any more out of you either.
What?
You know, you pretend to be my friend, and then you sell me down the river, and...
What, because Marge was making fun of you?
Call comes to us directly from the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
Marge. Let's see.
Marge was all over me, of all people.
She's unbelievable. Dwayne writes in, if the Texans don't take Reggie Bush in the, Saints,
shot.
And the Saints trade their number two pick, wouldn't that be the grandest display of front office ineptitude in recent draft history? That would include not only the Texans making a dumbass move by passing on Reggie, but the Saints topping it by trading the next pick. I pray that this is how it plays out. Mel Kiper's hair might just blow off his head, and I'll be able to say I told you so. Don't say it isn't going to happen. Both teams are dumb enough. Stupid is as stupid does.
Why is Houston dumb?
And I know that neither Texas or New Orleans have demonstrated much genius in the personnel department.
I don't know how happy this guy is going to be, because if they don't take Reggie Bush, you know who's probably going to get him?
The
Jets. So don't sit there and talk about how happy you're going to be when you got to face the guy twice a year.
I mean, New Orleans, I think, has demonstrated a long line of ineptitude.
But
Houston... They're an expansion team that's trying to build. They obviously failed on their first go-around. They Dom Capers didn't work out. Now they kind of, you know, they have to switch a little bit midstream here, try something a little bit different. I don't necessarily think they have a long line of, busts, you know.
No. Well, the question I would
take
New Orleans, I would think, I could see them passing on Reggie Bush. Even though I think he's a great player, you have Deuce McAllister, who's a pretty versatile running back. Are you going to really have both of them? Don't you have needs at 21 other spots where you
That's
could
where
use
it gets tough. You know, the whole,
player.
do you go for need or do you
To me,
go
Dominic Davis and Deuce McAllister are not comparable.
Oh, man.
And Deuce McAllister
You got a chance to take Reggie Bush.
You take
I think they probably
I
will.
I agree with you, Fred. I think all the
players
are just garbage.
You know, Deuce McAllister, fine. Use him part-time or trade him or do something. But
to New England? Because he's far better than the running back you have in this year.
Deuce McAllister is a very good player, but I'm with Fred. If you have a chance to
But how much better is Reggie Bush than Deuce McAllister?
I think the chance
Fred,
of him...
please.
I think...
I can't say anything?
You think Reggie Bush for B.C.?
He doesn't?
I think the upside of Bush is phenomenal, you know.
The upside of Bush is phenomenal.
All right.
I knew he was going there. I knew he was going on.
I'm talking about the player.
All right, Joey writes, an afternoon, fellas.
See, Tom gets mad at me sometimes because he wants to talk hardcore X's and O draft, and I go off and make a Bush joke.
My thoughts going into the draft and a few of my choices for round one. Players to trade up for, Huff or Vernon Davis if possible. Players to stand pat on or take a 21.
Is this for the Patriots?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't really think I want to be trading up for Vernon Davis. Despite I think he could be great. Do I need another?
I don't know where Davis is going to go, but from what Tom tells me, I don't think Huff is achievable.
No, he's probably top 10.
Yeah.
And Bill said today.
But Bill tells us he can't get out.
Well, I mean, we've been saying that all along. I mean, Bill, once again, I conveniently use Bill's words to back up my arguments when I deem that, you know, the right thing to do. But we've been saying all along, from 21, you can't get in the top 10.
Yeah, it's too hard.
Unless you're like, we'll give you a whole draft.
If you have two first-round draft picks or something.
Players to stand pat on. Carpenter, Wimbley, Williams. Players to trade down for and improve our second pick if possible, Lawson, Ryans, or Greenway. Any of these players would be hunky-dory with me. My personal choice, Bobby Carpenter.
The only player I really don't like in that is Greenway.
Yeah.
Which Williams are we talking about? Jimmy?
D'Angelo.
D'Angelo.
Oh, could talk about him, too.
Hunky-dory!
I would take him. I really liked him, and I
love him.
I have no problem taking him.
Jimmy Williams is a very good player. I think he might not necessarily, you know, conform.
Yeah, it'd be a tough fit here.
He's a tough attitude
guy. Tough fit here. When you got to put a gag order on a guy his senior season, he might not fit in well.
Yeah, I don't know if he had any DUIs, though.
Jason has a yes or no series of questions. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All at once or in order here? How are we doing this?
It's kind of like fact or fiction.
Now, do you want us all to yell it out or go in order?
Yeah, just yell it out.
Okay.
Hey, let's have some
fun. Will the Patriots draft a running back or wide receiver in round one? Yes or no?
No.
Hold on. Now, see, now I have issues with Jason.
I would go yes
and
no.
You have yes or no and then have two choices.
Because I think there's a chance it's a running back.
Well,
I'm going to change this. The Patriots will draft, instead of making it a question, I'll make it a statement. You can say true or false.
Okay.
Okay? The Patriots will draft a running back or wide receiver in round one.
False.
No.
False.
They will. They won't. So they will not take a wide receiver or a running back.
That's my opinion.
I don't think
they disagree.
No, I agree with you.
I think there's a chance at running back.
Thing.
But
I definitely think there's a chance at running back. I don't think they will.
I think they're going defense.
Right.
Okay. Wide receiver, I say, is less of a chance than running
back. The Patriots will draft a tight end on day one. True
false.
Or false?
False.
The Patriots will draft a nose tackle to back up Wilfork.
True.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
well,
true.
Thanks,
Paul. I think the upside of Bush is phenomenal.
Draft picks will be traded for 07 picks, true or false?
True.
I missed that one, too, because I was still going at Gary.
They're going to trade some of this year's draft picks for maybe next year.
Yeah.
You've got to say that might happen at least once.
It's possible. I think it's a virtual.
The first pick will be an outside linebacker or defensive end tweener to play outside linebacker, true
false.
Or false?
True.
That could be a true one.
Well, these could all be true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go false, but I could definitely see that as being a strong
positive. Well, so far you've eliminated five positions, so who are they going to pick?
I think they're more interested in an inside guy. You know,
inside
I don't like, in that area of what Tom and Andy are telling me, I don't like the tweeners. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think they're looking defensive back, personally.
I mean, if they went down around 30...
Why do you think that?
Then I would be more interested to say like Ryan's a loss in one of those guys. I don't like that 20.
Where do you go to school?
I don't really either.
I forget.
Who are we talking about?
You've got Ty Hill.
Telling me a guy. You don't know where he went to school. I like Ty Hill. You should, though.
Hill or Cromartie.
You're hosting a very important show.
I gave Tom my book, and I said I need it back.
You're hosting a very important show on draft weekend, and you really should know where Ty Hill went to school.
I just want to mention, Fred.
I want the book.
No, but Fred,
I'll give you a hint.
Can I just mention something? Your book has Darnell Bing rated as the second best safety. The first two lines are positive. The rest of the paragraph are all negatives. Can't play zone, can't play man, can't tackle. So
maybe
there you
he's
go.
The second best right. safety.
Maybe it's a typo. I don't know.
No, the whole typo paragraph? Is one letter, not pulse, unless they're cutting and pasting. And then it's even more.
Patriots will draft a kicker.
Yes.
False. Yes.
True that.
Don't talk to me. You think they'll sign one free agency?
Yes. Okay. Out of Northeastern?
Patriots will draft
a guy that got his head bashed in by Liam Ezekiel.
Patriots will draft a quarterback.
True.
I'll go with true on that. They always, almost always.
I'll say true.
Okay.
I think there was one year they didn't
spell true with an F these days.
Patriots will draft a running back on day one.
True.
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 Day one. Okay.
True.
Patriots will draft a defensive lineman on day one.
True.
False.
Right now they have four picks on day one.
I'll say true.
I said a running back, cornerback, and a defensive lineman. That's three picks. Don't they have four picks?
Yeah.
Four picks on day one.
I just so you know, anyone who's paying attention, I may have directly contradicted myself in some of these answers because
I'm sure no one's paying attention, so continue, Fred.
The Patriots will have eight or less players drafted. Right now they have how many?
True. I think it's going to be eight.
Eight.
Okay. The Patriots will sign Ty Law.
False.
False.
Okay. The Patriots will sign...
Stopped playing for anyone who noticed.
Well, I was looking at... They've taken quarterbacks 4 out of 6 drafts.
Good.
False on the Ty Law question. I agree.
The Patriots will sign to extensions any of the other 4 who will be free agents before the season. Branch, Graham, Kropen, or Samuel.
True.
Branch.
The Patriots will make a trade before the draft.
False.
Okay, and finally,
unless Jimmy Johnson comes back.
They almost always do, though. They had the Starks one. They had the Dillon one.
Yeah.
Those are before the draft.
All right, finally, the Patriots will have more than 3 kickers in camp to evaluate.
False.
All right, Jason, I hope that clears it up for you. Gary, let's take a break. We got a lot more emails right after this.
The defending Eastern Conference champion New England Revolution are back, and the Revs want you to be a part of the action when they open their 2006 home schedule. Sunday, April 30th, come see 2005 MVP Taylor Twellman. Rookie of the Year Michael Parkhurst, Clint Dempsey. And the rest of the Revolution as they take on the Chicago Fire. And all fans of Gillette Stadium will take home a 2006 Revolution schedule magnet sponsored by Bank of America. Free. And get to the stadium early and enjoy the interactive theme park soccer celebration free at every home match. Plus, this season, parking is also free. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable day for the whole family. Tickets are just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222. And get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the Revolution. The New England Revolution. 2000 brought Tom Brady.
Tom Brady launches a 60-yard bomb.
Next, it was future Pro Bowler Richard Seymour. And don't forget about Super Bowl 39 MVP Deion Branch.
Touchdown, Deion Branch.
Who will be the next to make their mark for the New England Patriots? Find out on Saturday, April 29th. Huddle up at the home of the 3-time world champions at the 2006 Patriots NFL Draft Party. Watch the draft on huge TV screens and get war room updates from the Patriots front office. The Patriots draft party features a lunch buffet, raffles, free parking, visits from the Patriots cheerleaders and alumni, and much more. The Patriots are looking for a few good men.
With the 21st pick for the New England Patriots selection.
And you can be there. Tickets for this event are $65. For more information or to purchase tickets, log on to Patriots.com or call 508-698-8590. The 2006 Patriots draft party, presented by the Massachusetts Army National Guard.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in progress.
The best undiscovered female voices will sing on this stage tonight with one definite goal: to win your vote. You decide their destiny. You make the call. The competition is on. Let's go. This is
PFW in progress with Red Kirsch.
I like that, Fredster.
I think it was a complete and utter mess. It didn't work. It was all over the place. You were forgetting your words. It just didn't work.
Rightly.
I really, really, really hated that. Sorry.
Paul Perillo.
Are you drunk?
No, not at all. No.
I thought it was ridiculous.
And Andy. And Andy?
Last week you indicated that you are on a different page.
Well, let's just redefine that as correct page.
Andy Hart.
So, being serious, I watched the show back, and I have to say, if I was giving myself marks out of 10, I'd give myself a 10.
Some guy named Tom.
The reality is, it is actually more than just singing. It is about personality. It's about the right choice of song. You can't come up on a stage like tonight and be in your own world and hope that you're going to interest the American audience, because they're going to forget that performance 3 performances later. So not your best night by a mile.
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
You are cute. You're likable.
Hey.
I think America, if they haven't already, are going to fall in love with you.
BFW in progress.
There's nothing much you can do.
And there were parts during the performance where it was actually painful. It didn't work. You can't keep doing this week after week after week. Sorry.
Sorry to you, Simon, because you can't keep doing this week after week after week. We do it every noon on Wednesdays, PFW in progress. And, of course, we're going to have some special draft shows on Saturday and Sunday. 3 to 6 on Saturday, 12 to 3 on Sunday during the draft. But
2 weeks from now.
Two weeks from now. On draft day.
Well, you said on Saturday. Now, I wanted to clarify.
Belichick had his pre-draft press conference, and Ken Flanders is going to be on the line. He's our retail director. We're calling him up right now.
You know why?
Well, because Bill Belichick.
Where we can get the Nike shirt.
Bill Belichick had a nice shirt on. He's probably not there.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders.
Ken Flanders, okay.
Oh, that doesn't even sound like him.
What we want to do is, you know, the league has this deal with Reebok, and Bill Belichick has never been one to go along, you know.
To conform.
Right, so he comes out today in his press conference with a big Nike swoosh.
Looking good.
Shirt. So we just wanted to get Ken's reaction to that and see where we could get ourselves a shirt like Bill Belichick has.
Bam, I got it.
Try him later, maybe like in half an hour or something.
Just
like
so
that.
You know, not only was Ken not happy about it, there was someone with the last name Kraft that wasn't happy about it. So I'm not sure how funny it is right now.
As long as you win games, they don't care.
Craig, thank you.
There may not be the Kraft I was referring to.
Henry from San Antonio, Texas.
Hank!
I read that Donnie
Spirituality, Edwards, faith, and democracy!
I read that Donnie Edwards might be on the trading block. If so, do you think the Patriots might have some interest in him? Also, do you know when the Patriots' 2005 NFL preview will air on ESPN?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I think he means review.
Like the yearbooks, those usually come out in July and August, that towards the right the end of summer before the season kicks off.
Are they on ESPN anymore, or are they on the NFL Network?
The NFL Network like replays them, but I think they're still on ESPN. As far as Edwards goes, I don't see him as a good fit here. He's
a wee little runaround player.
He's a coverage linebacker. He doesn't really engage in a lot of blocks.
Make him a safety.
I like Donnie Edwards.
Yeah, I love Donnie Edwards as a player, but, you know, hey, I got this from you guys. I said Lofa Tatupu was great, and you tell me he can't play here.
I never said
so
that.
So if Lofa Tatupu can't play here, then Donnie Edwards can't play here.
I thought that was my
good
question. I don't think Bill Belichick would answer it, but knowing what you know now about a guy like Lofa Tatupu, would he have fit in your system?
You must be in another world somewhere.
Don't ask
somewhere.
Questions.
There's no way that would happen.
Because you would waste our time.
Right. And that's why I wouldn't. He'd never answer.
He probably one of those because he asked a good question today. You notice that?
Tom's
question about Wendell White was a good one.
I heard he was going to drop out of the first round because of his injury, and I was just wondering how much stock people put in a, you know, in a hamstring.
How long does it take you to think dumb. He's up?
A hamstring, that's something you can come back from pretty quickly. If you're drafting a guy, as Bill said, you're drafting him for like 8 or 10 years, not for the first day of training camp.
Gabe from Trevose, Pennsylvania. I've seen some talk on PatsFans.com about Michael Holly on WEEI talking smack about the Pats' offseason moves, or lack of. He said, quote, if we don't see some guys coming in within the next 10 days, then Pats fans should be worried. He said, don't be surprised to see a trade happen before the draft. He said, it's ridiculous to think the Pats' offseason plan was to strictly just sign Seymour and Branch, saying that even with a Branch extension, the Pats will still have $12 million under the cap.
Minimum,
right. And that there is more to it than what we see. Sounds pretty harsh to me. I don't think that was harsh. Anyway, no. I doubt we would trade anything at this point. Walker, Lely, both want to be number ones. To me, it's not worth the hassle. They would probably cause disrupting the team, albeit good receivers. I just don't see either player a long-term Pat. Your thoughts on this? P.S., congrats to Seymour's contract. Well-deserved for a player of his caliber. Well, first of all, I don't think that what Holly said is that harsh.
No.
I think...
No, well, coming from him, it sounds harsh because he's usually so far the other way that anything that he says that might be questioning what's going on, I think would be perceived to be harsh criticism.
Why does Lilly want to be traded?
He said,
he's staying away from the conditioning.
Yeah, I saw that today.
That's another guy that all of a sudden pops up on the radar.
Another guy that I want no part of.
Yeah, I'm just saying. There's other guys, too.
Now, that's a guy.
Did you think before the offseason started that Ashley Lilly might be available?
The problem is, Fred, he's talking about being a number one receiver and he's young, which means he's going to want some kind of crazy contract.
He's not.
Hold off for a second. I want to address this other part that he seems to be sticking on. Did Bill Belichick think before the offseason started that Ashley Lilly was available? No. So that wasn't part of the plan.
End of story. You know guys will.
No, you don't know that.
You don't spend money just to spend money.
You just answered your own question. If you didn't know he was going to be available, then that's not what you don't know that.
guys will be available.
Your contention is, man, if you don't get the guys now, then you won't have anybody. Well, if
that's
the guys,
not my, that's not
we're
my
saying
guys
they don't have anybody.
Now, aren't
no.
the guys you
that's
want,
my
then,
contention.
You don't, then you don't spend
because
the
money.
You
never
jump.
Kind of,
I don't know.
Fist first into free agency with a handful of dollars and throw money around. They've never done that in the time that Belichick and
right,
Fiore.
Right. So what is everyone
show.
So
you
worried
make $5
about?
I don't know why you think
money.
Everybody's worried, but don't sit
you,
here.
You guys, they got $20 million on the cap. What are they going to do with it?
No receivers, no running backs.
That's fine, but I'm not.
Who though? Who's
I'm not in a panic. I'm not in a panic
there
like any
players out there.
Number
there
one,
were people out there.
There
you're
people
telling
out
me,
there.
In the same breath, you tell me they've missed them all. There's no one left. Well, who was the guys that they missed?
David Givens.
There was a reason. I don't know.
John Johnson.
There was different players out there like a Chester
according
Taylor.
According to the Globe, they
in.
Let him go.
Let me ask
but
you
Jared Vicious.
Fred. Givens. Fred, let me ask you something.
Well,
Fred.
You know.
Antoine Randall L.
Fred.
You know, Richard Seymour chose to stay. All the
tell
rest.
Me when I get to someone that you don't think is a viable option.
Dan Franco.
Fred, let me ask you something. They say they
it doesn't
go,
matter what I
say. They go
I
in
mean,
with,
don't just
say they go
say
in
who they
with Corey
out
Dillon
on and then you rattle off five names and you ignore them all.
It doesn't matter what I think. It's what they think. They're not going to just spend the money on people in the early free agents, which usually you overpay guys, for guys that they're not sold on.
Bottom
but
line.
You will overpay for a guy that is disgruntled and leaves his team on bad terms that who? Might be available down the road. Ashley will leave.
I didn't say that. Right.
Well, what are you saying?
There's
then?
Guys going to
clarify
be available
for all of us here right now, Fred. What
guys
are you saying?
Always guys available.
Right,
guys.
But are they guys that
Eddie
can
George,
help you win football
and
games?
Obviously, if they thought one of these guys, they, with all this money, they could have definitely got
well,
one of these guys that have been signed
look,
by the team.
I'm not in a panic because I've seen this team build. I have pretty good confidence in the way they go about building a team. Now, right now, I agree with Tom. I think they have some lacking areas like wide receiver.
Okay.
I'm not as down. You know, like I think that Dillon could be serviceable. I don't think Dillon's the reason they lost last year the way some other people do. As bad as I think Dillon was, and I do think I agree with Tom on this that Dillon is done. I've said that. Many times I agree with Tom on
but
that.
But they need a running back on top of wide receiver.
There are a lot of ways to get a running back.
Yeah.
And I don't think necessarily don't going out and giving Edwin James $80 million
I agree.
Was one of the ways.
But you hear 30. These emails. What are they doing? What are they doing? They got all this money. They
but,
just want
to
spend
you
it.
Take it the other way and you say, well, their plan was to do A, B, and C. I don't think they had a plan to just, you know, at this point, to be in the situation
yeah.
they're in right
well,
now.
I don't think
that was part
obviously
of the plan.
They can't. Tell they can't see into the future. They don't know what
no
other teams
idea.
Are doing. There's no way that you can't run your business
right.
doing it that way.
Right.
But at the same time, you just don't spend money just to spend that's it because you're afraid that nothing else.
And
is
people
be
are also not necessarily fixated on just blowing money. They're
right.
fixated on the fact that Adam Vinatieri went because of $250,000 a year, or David Givens, who's a young wide receiver, went for a couple million dollars, and you're just sitting there on 20. Okay, so you didn't want those guys, then what are you planning on doing?
I look, we said this before Adam Vinatieri left, that if one team offered Adam a dollar more than the Patriots, he was going
to
go.
It so, got to that point.
What are you going to do?
It's all right. Hey, they got to Bucky Jones back.
2 years ago,
right.
he wanted to leave.
It's all right.
Why
they got Eric
that?
Warfield and Mel
because
Mitchell.
Because they weren't going to pay right. that much to a kicker.
Because they
year.
Didn't give him a fair shake.
Hey.
Oh,
now
that I don't know. A fair shake?
When it was over, Fred, how many years did he have to win a Super Bowl before you said, I'll give him the offer that you gave him now?
Well, okay. All right.
Fred, they got a couple of good special team gunners.
They
got a couple of good special team gunners and to Bucky Jones and Mel Mitchell. I'm telling you, the special teams is looking good.
Well,
it's
one-third of the game, Tom. It's one-third of the game.
And for them, the way they're off.
Their best third of the game last year.
Their offense is shaping up. It's going to be more than a third of the game this year.
They had some coverage problems last year.
I think their punting was the most consistent aspect of the team last year.
Punting
from start
was.
To finish.
And the punt coverage wasn't a problem. One game it was a problem, but that was it.
Gabe writes in again, Tom, in your question to Belichick about drafting an injured player, did you get the feeling from Bill that it didn't bother him too much and he may pick White in the first round if he fell low enough? Elusive as Bill is, I kind of got that feeling from him. How about you?
Yeah, I kind of got it.
Sure.
I only really think that he would pick a guy that's hurt.
I don't think the injury has any effect
right.
on what
it
they think
have,
about Lendale
if
White.
If they loved Lendale White and they were hoping he slides, this only helped their cause
right.
because now he'll probably be there at 21.
By Andy and Tom's account, he was going to be there at 21 anyway.
I just want to clarify, my lack of a like for
has nothing, to do,
has
with
nothing to do with any hamstring injury.
No.
Has the,
it's
to do
ethic.
With he's a fat,
yeah.
lazy,
work ethic
no, doesn't want to work, ran behind a great offensive line, and I have questions on a lot of levels about what he's going to be.
Well, he does have talent.
He does have talent.
Oh, he's good.
So
he's,
does every other player available for this draft.
There's no doubt. He's a good player. I mean, that's what I was talking about when we were, who was the guy we were talking about earlier? Greenway. He's not without talent. I mean, there's guys that you like better than other guys. It doesn't mean the guys that you don't like.
We just don't
Darnell
think
he should
go.
He's a good athlete.
Right. We just don't think they should go like 14 or 15.
Well, Tom loves him in the third round.
He takes the bait every time.
Tom loves him in the third round.
Yes, so you're going to take Bing in the third round, fine.
If I can get Elway in the middle of the fourth round, that's a value pick. I'll take him.
Fred will start wearing his jersey again.
I'm loyal to my guys.
He wouldn't go to your team, though.
I would take Elway.
No, but he wouldn't go to your team.
Elway's one of the few guys I hold in higher regard than
he would refuse to go to your team.
Why?
Oh, he'll play for the Yankees.
The Colts.
Because you don't stand up when you cheer for your team. Phil from Austin says, my first thought was that the Patriots might be thinking about trading down from 21 for extra picks, similar to what they did with the Ravens in 2003. My thinking was that there appears to be a number of players from about 15 to 40 that are roughly equal in grade, and that getting two of them might be their strategy. With Bill's comments about how there are more developmental projects in the latter part of the first round than in recent years, I'm beginning to think they might be trading up, given the new CBA requirement limiting contracts to 4 years for anyone picked after the first round. A developmental type of player might only be contributing for a couple of years before leaving. Guys, what do you think? Trade up, down, or hold? Well, that's a good point. I don't know if it's exactly relevant to what Phil's saying, but that new rule about, you know, the length of draft rookie contracts.
First round picks are
no more than five.
And
oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't know this?
No.
Yeah.
No more than five
more
for
than
first
five
rounders?
And the rest of them.
No more than four?
Rest?
I think it might be
right?
The rest are four. It can be no longer than four.
No longer
that
than
does
four.
Make a difference. You know?
Yeah.
Although we weren't quite sure what developmental players he was talking about, really, other than Antonio Cromartie. Because we looked at all the prospects, and most of them had played for 3 or 4 years in college, and not quite sure where he was going with that line of thinking.
He did use the terminology developmental, and I don't know if I'm right on this, but I didn't necessarily take it in terms of the guy won't be able to play right away.
No,
I was thinking of it more in terms of we don't exactly know what these guys can do yet because we haven't seen a lot of them. For whatever, and I think he used the term circumstantially,
right.
Didn't have the production. For whatever reason that may be,
I took it
that doesn't mean the guy can't come in. You know, a guy like Cromartie, for example, let's use him because he's the one guy we think fits into that category.
Right.
Who's to say that he goes through training camp? He could be starting day one.
Right.
So you don't necessarily, you're not necessarily precluded from drafting him because you're afraid you can only get him on a 4-year deal if you draft him in the second round. And he's only been able to play the last 2 years. He could be able to play, right away. I didn't take developmental to mean it's going to be 2 years before the guy can contribute. I didn't take it that way. I don't know if you guys did or not.
Are you mental?
I thought he didn't know much about these guys because
also didn't know really who he's talking about.
For whatever reason, they didn't have the production and the experience and just the evaluation.
Is Jason Allen another one of those because of the hip injury? Maybe that he's throwing out there?
Maybe, but he played quite a bit in college.
But it was the last year, right?
I'm sorry. The Metro West Daily News had a thing about Jason Allen today. Did you read that?
No.
Who
wrote it?
Bert Breer. The best.
Call comes to us direct from the Western Telegram and Gazette.
Will you stop playing that? Will you stop?
The guy, You're making me mad.
The guy who used to write for that paper was fired for plagiarism. I don't like that. Anyway.
Why'd you have to bring that up? Why are you going to kick a man while he's down?
Because it keeps saying my name in that paper, and people think,
Isn't one of the best baseball beat writers around for that paper? Isn't he a longtime beat writer?
He's a longtime beat writer. I wouldn't call him one of the best around.
Paul doesn't like anybody.
Media on media crime. Sean from Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Hey, guys, would you consider...
fired for plagiarism. I mean, that's not a right to...
You brought that point up a number of times.
That's a heinous offense in...
Say who it was.
Hey, guys, would you consider trading for Ashley Lee, Dante Stallworth, or Javon Walker? And how much would you give up for them?
I would definitely trade for the latter two.
That's another guy, Stallworth.
But who says the teams are going to trade him?
I'm just saying.
And you know what they're looking for him?
I don't know.
A first-round pick. You going to give him one?
No.
All right, then.
Well, let's
move on.
Next question.
But so you still don't have a wide receiver.
Saying, but that doesn't mean they're going to get it. You know?
I don't see any of those three being here.
Would you give a third-round pick for him?
Yes.
I don't know if I would.
Oh, I think I would.
I'd give a third-rounder.
I think he's worth a third-round pick, obviously. He's worth a first-round pick.
Plus they have two third-rounders.
But I don't necessarily know that they would give a third-round pick for him.
I definitely would. I'd do it in a heartbeat.
I didn't ask what you would do. Oh, ask what you thought they would do.
Oh,
well, I'm not sure
they threw away a pick, a third rounder for Dwayne Starks. Why not throw one away for Donnie Stallworth? Same initials? Oh, we're on to something here, Fred Kerr style.
Pat's fan from San Fran writes in, I need your astute opinions on a couple of
one
draft
burn,
questions.
One gets
one. A lot of mock drafts have the Pats passing on D'Angelo Williams for defensive back or wide receiver, and I just don't understand it. I think a talented running back like him is a gift at 21, and the Pats should jump all over it. I know he's got an injury history, but every defense Memphis faced the past two seasons had one mission, stop D'Angelo Williams, and the guy still piled up the yards. Am I just overvaluing this guy? My other no-brainer picks at 21 are Dante Whitner, Santonio Holmes, and Ty Hill, who are yours, and don't say Reggie Bush. Two, I read Nick Cafardo's draft wish list in the Globe, and I saw a player I hadn't heard anything about. What can you guys tell me about Anthony Smith, the safety from Syracuse?
He's good. I love Anthony Smith. I think he's going to be. I think he's going to be one of those
like guys with talent.
No, I just think he played on a.
That's how he differs from us.
He's a little small, but he hits like a ton of bricks. He makes a lot of big plays. He was all over the place for that Syracuse defense. If you read Patriots.com, actually, you would have heard about him 2 weeks before Cafardo wrote it. But that's okay.
Just so you know, in reading Cafardo's thing, I think he got a lot of it from Patriots.com.
That's good. You keep that up, Tom.
You keep reading Nick Cafardo, and you'll get stuff 2 weeks later.
That's right.
How come you don't yell at him for media on media crime?
No, he's sticking up for himself is what he's
right.
doing.
Not just
fine,
blatantly ripping another guy for no reason.
The whole point of me mentioning that was it said that I wrote for the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
So
you're
implying
that everybody who writes for the Worcester Telegram and Gazette.
That's all he's stuck in his
steel.
Paw. I'll make a statement right now. Paul never plagiarized.
Well, I just don't understand why.
I wouldn't sign anything that says that.
While we work there.
I don't understand why you think that wouldn't bother someone. It says that I wrote for the Worcester Telegram and Gazette. Obviously, I don't now.
You wrote for the Herald and somebody got fired from there for plagiarism, didn't
Not their football beat writer.
No.
The fans know the previous football beat writer for that paper was fired for plagiarism.
Well, if they know that, they know who the guy is. And they know it's not Paul Perreault.
Andy, you know how things work. You know, sometimes people know of a story. They don't know the details. How many times? I didn't hear about
That happens to me a lot.
Thank you. So you don't think it's possible that people hear that and they say, oh, wow, he must be the guy that used to write for that paper that got in trouble. I don't understand why you would think that would be something. That would be something.
Yeah, the Patriots.
Boy, that doesn't speak well.
Well, I know
Patriots.
I don't have any DUIs or wife beating charges.
Whoa!
Maybe wow. I was attractive to the Patriots in some way.
We're gonna have to edit this show.
Wow!
I mean, let's call
Paul
like
is a loose cannon.
Wow!
I think that you can understand why I wouldn't want my name in that paper associated with
Ken Flanders. Doesn't have any DUIs.
Speaking of,
what are you on,
the school
paper? What about Dante Whitner, Antonio Holmes, or Ty
Hill?
I love Whitner, yeah. I think if Belichick got his hands on Whitner and put him back there in that defensive backfield, he'd make him a pro bowler in 2 years.
Tom tells me very high on Dante Whitner. Yeah. That's good.
I like him.
No, I mean, he's a good player.
Okay.
So we got the phone ringing here.
What are the odds that he's in his office?
He's never in his office. He's always gossiping somewhere.
He's like Floyd the Barber from the Miami Griffin show.
He's not
going to pick up. If he doesn't pick up right away, he won't pick up. All right.
I guarantee. Hi, you reached the desk of Ken Flanders.
Is that him?
Yeah.
That sounds funny.
I don't know where he is. He's probably down in the warehouse or something.
Have you ever noticed he's rarely in his office? And when he's in his office, he's usually gossiping with
people. Well, he's usually got like... They
or
sit
somebody.
Out,
somebody's
like,
in his office.
He should have like a screen door and a porch. And they should just sit out there drinking iced tea and gossiping.
If it's not me, it's Andy. If it's not Andy, it's, you know, someone
it's
from
anyone.
Finance.
It's Paul from IT. It's
yeah. Someone's know, in his office just, at all times.
And they're talking about anything but work.
And that's why the head coach ends up wearing a Nike shirt and a major press conference.
That's not his fault.
Maybe people are spread. That's
is,
right.
Though.
He's not the head
not.
Man in that department. Let's blame the head man in that department.
We've known about this press conference for 2 weeks now. He should be on the phone with Burrs saying, hey, can he wear this? We got this
but
new
there's
item.
There's a specific person. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, but there's a specific person that's supposed to be in charge of that who is upset about what happened today.
Is upset?
Yes.
Okay. Was there an understanding beforehand what he was going to wear?
I don't know what they talked about, but that's basically part of his responsibility.
Yeah, but you can't just like he walks out and you go, oh, how can you got to plan? You got to talk to the guy before he gets out there.
Oh yeah.
You can't just wait for things to happen
and
be upset about it.
But it's not Ken's fault, is my point.
I know that.
I know porn when I see it.
Alejandro Mina writes in. He's writing for Bogota, Colombia.
Nice.
Bogota?
Bogota.
There you go.
Very interesting thoughts on whether drafting early is good or bad.
Wait a minute. A guy that is as intelligent as you just said Bogota, Colombia.
I figured you lived there for 2 years.
I might have, but I don't remember.
I mean, it's not exactly
he's
like
had some Colombian connections in the past.
Bogota,
we know that.
Colombia. Let's not stereotype here.
Stereotype what?
You know, people from Colombia or the
people
country.
Who used to go to back alley raves in the 80s?
Alejandro says, very interesting thoughts on whether drafting early is good or bad. Last year, a couple of economists, Cade Massey of Duke University, Fuqua School of Business, and Richard Thaler, the University of Chicago's Graduate School of Business, wrote a paper on that particular subject.
On drafting?
I guess. They evaluate players' performance in terms of numbers of starts or whether they make it to the Pro Bowl against their cost and their salary.
I'd be very interested in seeing some of the results of this.
You wouldn't understand it.
I'm sure I wouldn't, but I'm interested in how they
okay.
Email him.
Is the first pick worth it? According to the authors, it is not the first pick, but the 43rd pick or thereabouts who typically offers the best value. Earlier picks are better players, but their performances are not good enough to warrant the bigger salaries they command. Likewise, very late picks are cheaper, but their pay is not low enough to compensate for the relatively mediocre performances. So the economics say it's better to trade down your first pick if you are picking high. Do you agree? With that in mind, do you see any talent slipping to the early second round?
This isn't a personal shot on Alejandro, but that kind of crap just doesn't interest me.
Well,
we want to get to the 43rd pick because that has.
No, I don't agree with it, but I'd be very interested to see their research.
Right,
on it.
And this is I remember Kraft and Parcells saying the same thing. If you're looking at pure value, the best value is late second, third
round.
Sure,
I agree with that.
And that's true.
I think the Patriots got pretty good value out of Richard Seymour, the sixth pick in the draft.
You know, that doesn't mean I don't want to take Reggie Bush.
These economists would say that they didn't because it cost them too much money initially, so no matter how good he played, I think that
if you
don't have stud players like that making a lot of money, you're not going to win.
Right.
You're not going to win with a bunch of 43rd picks.
But you look at a guy like Curtis Martin, who was, what, a third-round draft pick?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tremendous value.
So evidently, he wasn't a good value, though, you know, for the Jets. Because once he made his money, he was no longer a good value pick.
We're talking about rookie draft picks.
I understand that, but you're still picked in that spot. You're always picked in that spot.
Well,
the bottom line is,
first contract, all bets are off because it's just based on your performance.
But it's also swayed by a Tom Brady of the world and a Ryan Leaf of the world. If you make the right pick, regardless of where you pick it, it's the right pick.
Right.
That's my words. If Tom Brady was used on the second selection of the draft and
he'd be a bad pick.
Ryan Leaf's contract, economist would say that's a bad pick. Right. I would say that's ludicrous.
Well, you need to read what
but
they have to read.
You don't need an economist to do
this. I just did.
Bobby Bethard had this theory forever. He always wanted to trade out of the first
round
because he didn't think it was great value. He always wanted to be in the second round.
Where'd you come up with Bobby Bethard? What's that all about?
I know a little something about the game of football.
Well, some of that Bobby Bethard stuff happened before 85.
Yeah.
You know?
When it was working. When the time you were around is when it stopped working.
When his theories were actually sound.
Screw you guys.
Corey from Green Bay loves the show. Quick question about Ty Law. Do you think we are actually going to sign him, or do you think it is just going to stay talk until he signs with someone else?
Yep. I agree.
I think he's going to sign for the most money he can get, and probably that will not be in New England.
I say that's a virtual lock. It won't be annoying.
Frank is from Stuttgart, Germany.
Nice.
I wonder did I pronounce Stuttgart right?
I don't know how to say it.
I have a non-football related question. I don't really know how we got there, but a few days ago, Paul's Maybe I Just Drink to Get Drunk came
maybe
up during the conversation
oh
with
my
buddies.
In Germany?
He's talking to his buddies about you.
I'm guessing maybe they were drinking to get drunk.
Someone asked me if that was something Philip Marlowe, Humphrey Bogart, once said. He thought he remembered it was from The Big Sleep. What do you think? Do you know more?
You know what?
I just drink to get drunk.
I read The Big Sleep.
I just drink to get drunk.
I don't remember that. I certainly didn't steal it from a movie.
I never met a man who didn't understand a slap in the face with a slug from a .45.
What the hell is that?
I just drink to get drunk. I just think it's amazing that people in Germany are talking about Paul Perillo.
He's everywhere.
His ego is just growing. This is very funny. Well, that's
he's international.
It's one of the stupid lines that I you got to keep doing it, though, don't you?
You know those
now in Germany, they think I was fired for plagiarism.
Paul Perillo's picture is like flashing in Tokyo right now.
He gets out of a car, people like, are mobbing him.
We like Paul Perillo.
That was Fred Kirk there, that latter part.
Yeah, he doesn't want to, hey, don't make fun of Colombians, but if you're Asian... Fred's all over you, baby.
Yeah, but I don't know what a Colombian accent sounds like.
No disrespect to the Oriental.
England's writing in. We got them all over. We got Bogota. We got Germany. We've got England. Where else have we had
too bad no one in the United States is listening.
Texas. Texas.
That's way out there.
Green Bay.
You guys,
Green Bay.
Wow.
I don't know where it just came to my head. And I did see, I think I read The Big Sleep, but I don't remember seeing a movie.
I've never even heard of it. The Maltese Falcon?
What?
That's all part of Philip Marlowe. He's a detective.
And The Big Sleep is one of them?
Yeah.
I've never heard that at all. I took a detective.
Not surprised.
It was a black and white
detective.
I've heard of a lot of stuff.
Class at BU. Ah. I actually read some of the books I was supposed to.
You went to BU?
Yeah.
Not Northeastern?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's correct.
We wouldn't know it.
Regretted it every
day.
Hey,
what about this new basketball coach for Northeast?
I'm cautiously optimistic.
Okay. All right.
I like some of what I... You know, to quote a Patriots employee, like the hire, don't love it.
All right. Brian Morey wants to interview. I missed the... Dave from England, I missed the start of the show, so sorry if you already covered this. I wanted
probably
your
not.
Thoughts
American
on...
American Idol, yes. Yep.
If it's relevant, probably not.
If the Texans pass up Bush, insert your own joke here.
Why would you pass up Bush?
It's increasingly looking like they will, having both his positions covered, running back and returner, and not talking with him. Will they trade down or just pick someone else at number one? I also like whoever it was getting angry last week about this and would like to hear him going off again. Also,
I'm guessing that was you, Tom.
Has the sale at the pro shop started? They always have something on sale, so I was just wondering, Dave. All right, before you go off,
okay. There
is going to be a huge spring sale starting Friday, Dave, spring clearance sale. And if you're a member of a registered Patriots fan club on Patriots.com, you get an additional 5% off the already huge savings. So just wait till Friday, Dave, and then go to the online pro shop. Now go off.
The thing about Bush, I wouldn't say it's becoming increasingly likely, because the guy on ESPN, what's his name, Paul, from the Dolphins last year that they got on the draft show?
Rick Spielman?
Spielman. He said they talked to Ronnie Brown once, and that was enough for him. They didn't have him in for a visit. They didn't call him. They just they called him on draft day and said, you ready to become a Dolphin? So don't buy into all this. They're talking to him. Bush is still their man, in my opinion. And if he's not, I think they're nuts, and I think they'll live to regret it to the day they die.
But if you don't take him, I would trade down. If you're not planning on taking him, I wouldn't just take another
player. And it better be something darn good.
I agree with that. If you didn't like the player, then that's when I would trade down.
He's the number one pick in the draft.
Because, I think he's clearly the number one pick in the draft by what everybody's saying.
Therefore, you're not getting
so
value.
If you don't like that, then you can get
two, three, four, whatever, eight.
What's the difference? You can get two out of those top 10, maybe. You know, or somehow you work a deal. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of different things they could do, but they can end up with two solid players rather than a guy that they're not in love with.
Right.
I got some late draft news. I don't know if you've heard about this. The 49ers now have two first round picks in this month's NFL draft.
They must have made that trade with Denver.
The Niners acquired the 22nd overall selection in the draft from the Denver Broncos on Wednesday, today, for picks in the second round and third round. The Broncos will receive the 37th and 68th overall picks.
So it wasn't
to move up, though.
No.
The Niners own the 6th overall pick in the draft, as well as number 22 in the first round. The Jets are the only other team with two first-round picks in the April 29th draft. The Broncos now own 7 picks in the first 4 rounds. They have the 15th overall selection after moving up from 29th in a deal with Atlanta. And Denver had acquired the 22nd overall pick from Washington in a trade last April.
So can the 49ers now move into the top 1 pick with the 5th and the 22nd and put together a package to maybe get a running back to go with their franchise quarterback? They haven't been happy with Kevin Barlow.
You know, I don't know.
If they're legitimately going
to
trade
out, I have to break that thing down a little more. It's hard to digest it all. I thought that Denver might try to move up for Vernon Davis. You know what, though? I have to say this. I have no idea what Denver's doing, really.
I mean, you go to 15, you figure you're looking for a certain, like Bill said, you must be looking at a certain player. I don't know who that player could be at 15.
You don't think would be there at 15, right?
No way.
No. He's a 7 to 15, 7 to 12 kind of guy.
Yeah, if he started slipping to a
but
team
at 15,
would probably...
you can definitely get there. Now, and you acquire a couple of second round picks, you know, maybe that gives you some ammunition to move up the three or four spots that it's going to take you to get him.
Or maybe they're just looking for a running back now.
Maybe they like Lendale White.
Right. They're going to need a running back as well. But I would have thought that 15 and 22 would have allowed them to get...
Really, looks like Denver is very, very active.
They are. They've been very active.
So there's an example of what Bill was talking about today, a draft pick trade that was consummated before.
But that's why I wonder if it involves other stuff. The teams had to get it done so they could do something else on one of the two sides.
Well, the guy I hear that San Fran really likes is Hawk.
That's my point about maybe Denver wants to move up from 15, and it's hard to pull off a draft day trade with one team and then say, okay, now look, I'll take these second-round picks that I'm acquiring, and I'll give them to you so I can move. Maybe they couldn't move up with that trade. That's why they would make it now, so they can. That's
no,
step
I would,
one.
I would expect one of these two teams to make a subsequent move.
Right, because they were told by some other team, you're going to need this, so then they went and got it. Now they can do their other thing.
You know, and we can debate how much we know about these players. And clearly Andy and Tom, with their work at the Combine, are a little bit ahead of Fred and I in terms of the personnel.
Well, Tom's got my book.
Fred had Chad Greenway on Iowa.
Book stinks.
Ohio State.
You can have it back anytime you want. I don't even read it.
But this is a great
time. One
guy,
Darnell Bing, and the whole book is...
This is a great time, though, because of this stuff. I mean, all of the different, you know, permutations. And,
everybody has their own opinion. But there's one thing I'll say. Anybody who knows anything about football and has watched Reggie Bush play, if you pass on him at number one, you are taking a huge, huge risk. That's all I'll say.
It's the bottom line.
I mean, even if you have, who's it, Dominic Davis or Deuce McAllister?
Think McAllister is as laughable. I think Dominic Davis saying, we're set with Dominic Davis, we don't want Reggie Bush, I think that's laughable.
Well, a lot of, I mean, don't laugh at Fred,
like,
a lot of people are saying that.
No, I know, and
fans are
Davis
saying
has produced
well,
the
I mean,
time. When
what
he's
what if you say,
the Patriots have an outside linebacker, they can line somebody up,
but
so what's going to pass on
what
a
if
linebacker?
The Texans
are you
going to
say they have an outside linebacker that's as good as Dominic Davis as a running back? And you know what I think of Dominic Davis, I think he's an average running back.
I think Dominic Davis
have
Monty Beisel are close.
No.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's here's where you pull
Dominic
a Paul Perillo
Davis
and you just go off
stinks.
The handle.
What if you're the Texans? You're saying, look, we know things we know on the inside. David Carr is done in this league. And we have to
just give him
we
however
have
many
pick
millions
of the litter
of
at number one of any quarterback we want in this draft. We're
you just
use
paid
for quarterback.
Him. I'm going to guess that they don't think that based on the bonus.
Well, Fred, this is what would happen. Instantly. If they had a good trade and traded down and they really improved
what
their team.
What if you trade Carr for a number two pick this year? I mean, not number two, second round pick this year.
They can't trade him. They gave him too much money. If they made a trade.
I think that's probably
true. That's
true.
You gave
him a big bonus in March.
If they made a trade,
that would
Fred,
hit the cap.
And did something that really improved their team or something. Then maybe I could live with it. But if you trade a couple of spots and take the Brickishaw Ferguson instead of Reggie Bush, I think you're a joke. I think it's laughable, and I will be sitting here laughing on draft day. I'll be blogging it. I'll say laughing. That's what I'm going to be saying.
What if they can trade down, and let's just say, I don't know if this is even possible, but they get Mario Williams at 5. Mm-hmm. Things unfold a little different than we might expect. And then they get, what was the other pick that? They might get, San Francisco has another 22nd. Say they ended up with that and they get D'Angelo Williams and they come away with Mario Williams and D'Angelo Williams.
Yeah, then that's what I'm
saying. You could argue that they made both sides of the ball significantly better.
That's what I'm saying. If they make a deal like that or something and get two players like that that really help their team, I can live with it. But just to drop back a couple of spots and pick up an offensive tackle or something, that's not going to work for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you call Charlie? Let him know that? Charlie.
Why, he doesn't have a job.
Oh, is he fired now?
I'm more of a GM than he is.
But you get in that spot where you can get a guy.
Are Greer still with the Texans?
I doubt it.
I thought he was with the Texans.
He was, but he was like a consultant or something, right?
Oh, really?
He wasn't really a
I just think I think there's years where you should trade out of the number one spot. I don't believe this is the year. I think there's a player there.
That's basically what I was trying to say when I couldn't get the word.
Last year was the year you wanted to trade out. This year there's a player there that has a chance to be a special football player. And to pass on him, you better be pretty confident that the players you get instead of him are going to be darn good.
Yeah.
Bobby Greer was the associate director of pro scouting last year.
That's last year.
The 2005 media guide. Yeah.
And I haven't heard of
Bobby Greer's telling me DeBrickishaw Ferguson. DeBrickishaw Ferguson.
I think his son's there, too. Chris Greer. Is Chris Greer on the...
How about Mario?
On the director? On the director?
Mario with two R's?
I don't know.
Mike Reese used to be very tight with them. Eat dinner with them.
Really?
Yeah.
Good story.
Chris Palmer? Did he get picked
he's
up a, by
yeah,
anybody?
He's with Dallas, for Christ's sakes.
That's what. He's a good guy.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
Whoa, you don't even know him. Chris Palmer. Well,
I don't want to sit down and have dinner with him.
He doesn't know 99% of the people he rips. Why are you picking this one to point out? You think he knows Darnell Bing?
I didn't see mention of Chris Greer.
Okay, all right. Let's see. Mike, we were talking earlier about Seymour's contract, and Mike had a question about it. He didn't understand. He said, my main point was why only 3 years? I would have rather seen 6, 7, 8 years for $60 to $70 million. My main point is he got a short contract and huge money with a huge signing bonus.
Yeah, it's very beneficial to him because he'll be able to cash in again.
I don't think Richard Seymour was interested in signing anything more than 4 years. I mean, if they're limiting the majority of the draft picks to four-year contracts, why is a free agent going to go out and tie himself up for more than 4 years?
I guarantee you.
And it's 4 years, not
at the end of the contract, he's 29 to 30. You know, and if he's asking for big money and the Patriots – you know, decide not to sign him, there'll be hell to pay. Patriots are idiots. They don't know what they're doing.
Well, we'll have to see what kind of team they are at that point.
Right,
have they
right.
won two more
I'm
Super Bowls?
That they
or
keep doing well.
Or are they 5-11?
Yeah, if they're not doing well, then they'll need to, you know, rebuild. So well.
How was Travis Johnson last year?
The defensive tackle?
Florida State.
Spotty at best.
Okay, yeah. No surprise that Bobby Greer is running the show in Houston.
What's Houston's drafts been like, Paul?
They got Jerome Mathis last year, which was a good pick.
Yeah, that's a very good pick in the fourth round, especially. Morency, I think, is a pretty good running back. They got him in the third round, too. Vernon Morency?
Yeah.
They traded the second rounder to Oakland for Philip Buchanan.
That move stunk.
The rest of the guys, Drew Hodgdon was a center in the fifth round. C.C. Brown, safety in the sixth round. Kenneth Petway, linebacker in the seventh round.
C.C. Brown actually started every game for
okay,
that.
Okay, that's a good pick.
Did
then,
they
the
pick a lot of guys yeah. from Iowa's conference?
Florida State, Oklahoma State, Hampton, Arizona State, okay. Louisiana Lafayette, and Grambling. Not one.
What are you, they're getting away from that because when Greer was here, he used to...
The Big Ten, you mean, Fred?
Yeah, he used to... No, well, you know, the Iowa's, because that's, I think, where he went, you know.
Another example of why I think the NFL is kind of the most overrated joke on the face of the earth. Did you read recently that all these teams that don't use free weights to train with?
Yeah.
That you the know, Packers are having to put $200,000 into
talk,
it.
Talk to us about the benefits of free weights versus
the only way you
stronger.
Can get stronger. It's the only way you build useful, functional
right.
strength because there's nothing you do on a football field or on a construction site where everything is held perfectly in line
right.
in one range of motion. It's not realistic strength.
The difference is, Fred, like, you know how I hurt my shoulder? Now, I can use, like, the machines and the hammer strength to keep up my size and everything, but I'm not going to get stronger doing that. If you want to build the strength that you need to play on the NFL, you have to use free weights. It's the only way you can do it.
And there's teams, apparently, that don't,
so,
which I find absolutely amazing,
that's
shocking.
Mind-boggling. I can't even
now,
comprehend.
What's better?
So, basically, if you're bench
pressing...
A long
bar or dumbbells?
What? Depends what you're trying to do.
Right,
but,
again, you're... The,
but
best, the best program has aspects
me that
of all.
You can get a complete workout with just dumbbells.
You can.
Well, you can.
If you know what you're doing.
You
can.
Complete
but that's
workout
not,
with nothing.
But you should change up your stuff. You shouldn't be using dumbbells for your whole life.
Push-ups, squats. I mean, you can get a complete workout with any
yeah,
can of soup.
I did push-ups the other day. Could barely move.
It's because you're kind of fat. It's
you barely
weight.
Move when you work out.
So
you're weighing like 245 these days.
If someone were to bench... This guy.
He's there for
but
10
apparently,
minutes.
Fred,
he leaves the car running for Christ's sake.
That's good talk. I like that.
So if you bench press, say, 300 pounds on a machine, you know, some whatever. You, I don't even know what the different machines are.
Doesn't mean
are
you can
now.
Do it
universal
on a
anymore.
Not even close. You could kill yourself if you tried.
Right. It's not even close.
There's a thing called hammer strength where you plate load it.
Right.
Now I can do 3 plates on that right now with my shoulder. I can't do two plates on a
right.
bar.
It's,
I can't even get it off my chest with my shoulder. So that's the difference. It's much easier
I mean,
to do.
It's like Tom and Fred always makes fun of him for this, putting 8 million pounds on the sled. Okay, put those same amount of weight on a squat
yeah,
rack and try to squat that. He will be dead.
So why don't you do less with the real way?
because I can't squat because I have a bad vertebrae in my lower back.
I'm talking about the hammer strength, whatever it is.
I do
less. Why don't you do less with the...
I am.
Oh.
I do it light. I do it a bunch of reps. I'm just saying I could.
You do it fast like Andy?
Yeah. Why don't you get off my back, Fred? Jesus.
Andy and Tom, I've never met two people more defensive about their workout.
They get very defensive.
Very protective, Fred. This guy is there for 10
minutes.
I'm
62 right. years old.
Watch it off my back, Fred. You watch us and see what we're doing, then you leave.
And he makes fun of you.
Right. I'm 62. What do you want?
Checks in with his girl.
But you guys are very, very defensive of like your workout routine.
Because I'm going to take criticism from this guy?
Because I don't... You're so defensive, you've now gone to a place where no one can see you do it.
But Paul, I'm defensive because I don't want him lumping me in like I'm a meathead. Because I go to the gym to work out and get a good work. I'm not one of those meatheaded guys who's looking at himself in the mirror and going, "Rah!" That's what Fred makes us out to be.
It's not true.
You're doing this all by yourself. It's all you. I'm not even spotting you. It's all you.
Trying to get Ken on the phone. He's not.
Took a long lunch today, huh?
Yeah. 3 hours.
Hi. You've reached the desk. All right.
So we're going to report him to
him. Maybe he's in a meeting. A meeting about his future.
Yeah, you should be in.
Oh, all right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We'll check you out next Wednesday, and that's the last one before the draft. So we'll make our we're going to have a little mock draft that day. Should we have a mock draft?
Sure.
We'll have a first-round mock draft next Wednesday. We'll see you then.